It's time for Twit This Week in Tech. We've got a young priest, we've got an old priest, or a podfather anyway, and then there's the Scobalizer. One of these things is not like the other. We're going to talk about the Facebook IPO, the total eclipse of the sun, and a whole lot more. This Week in Tech is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for Twit is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Twit, This Week in Tech, episode 354, recorded May 20th, 2012. Adam's got a gun. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. For my special offer, visit Stamps.com, click the radio microphone, and use the offer code TWIT. And by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix. All you need is a webcam and a click to turn your online meeting into a high-definition video conference. Meet with colleagues anywhere in the world, even from an iPad. Try it free for 30 days at GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button, and the offer code is TWIT. And by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get 2 free books. Visit Audible.com/TWIT2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter. User ID Audible_com. And by FreshBooks, the easy online invoicing service for small business that saves time and gets you paid faster. Join over 3.5 million FreshBooks users and try the service free for 30 days at FreshBooks.com. Be sure to let them know you heard about it on Twit. It's time for Twit This Week in Tech, the show that covers your technology news of the week. We analyze it. We don't bring you new news. We talk about what everybody's talking about. It's kind of the water cooler of the tech news. And joining us, and I'll start on my right, your left, Mr. Robert Ballinser, Padre SJ in our chat room from thetechstop.net. It's great to have you back, Robert.
It's great to be back. I love being in California. I was just down south in Mexico and Brazil, so it's a nice change.
You're glad to be home?
I'm so glad to be home.
Robert is an IT professional. He does podcasts at thetechstop.net, but also you work in IT.
I do.
Are you employed by the church in IT?
Yes and no. I don't actually have employment per se. I have missions. They send me off to do things.
IT related?
Yes, mostly. Yes.
Although we were talking about going to Antarctica because there's a Catholic chapel in Antarctica that you could go and become the parish priest.
The Chapel of the Snows.
Wow, that would be cool. Yeah. That would be. You got a place?
I'll have an office and I'll set up cameras.
Can I come visit?
And,
do you have absolutely an extra cot?
I'm not really sure. I know it burned down once.
Oh,
no,
dear.
It's burned down twice.
Oh, dear.
But they make it better every time. So I'm hoping it burns down a few more times before I get there, fully upgraded.
You don't need air conditioning, but heat, maybe. Well, it's good to have you, Robert.
Thank you. Robert will
be the host starting in July of our new IT show. We haven't named it yet, so any suggestions would be welcome. That we'll be talking about enterprise and IT technology. Should be very exciting.
Absolutely.
Very
thrilled.
Cool. Also here, the Scobalizer, Robert Scoble of everywhere.com. He's very famous, and he's today wearing the Woven shirt. Well, the Woven guys are in the studio. This is Weaving the Internet of Things. It's a small startup, 4-person startup,
yep.
And they're putting sensors in stuff.
Yeah, these little sensors that do all sorts of things like measure temperature or water or pressure.
You know, Maker Faire is going on in San Mateo this
weekend.
Yeah,
that's why they came to my house last night, and that's why I'm wearing the shirt. I didn't even know they were going to be here, but...
I saw your post. Cool. This is one of the things about Robert. He does nothing quietly or anonymously. I saw your post about what... You said, well, you should see what we've got set up at the house. I'll find out more about that later. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
W-O-V-Y-N. Also joining us, it's Crackpot, ladies and gentlemen, from the No Agenda podcast, noagendashow.com, Adam Curry, in his Austin studio. Adam, we're so glad to have you.
Oh, it's good to be here once every 2 years, Leo. I appreciate it. I'll have you more.
It's just Dvorak takes all the oxygen out of him, and you know, he won't be on with you.
No. That's not a good idea. We've never even been seen in the same picture or anything like that, so keep it that way. I have a name for Padre's show, though.
What's that?
Briar Tech.
It's done, and we'll give the Podfather credit. It's done, Friar Tech.
I like it.
It's at least his nickname. That's fantastic. Adam is, of course, very well known as a podcaster today, but the proto-podcaster. In fact, some called him the Podfather. He did one of the very first podcasts, the Daily Source Code. Is the Daily Source Code dead?
It's not dead. It kind of went on hiatus.
It's not daily.
I did a show 2 weeks ago.
Oh, good.
I don't watch a lot of television anymore, but I was watching American Idol, and they had they were doing 45 seconds of Queen songs. I got so frustrated, I got really drunk, and then decided to do a show. And it turned out pretty good, actually. It's changed a lot since its inception. So yeah, there'll probably be another one in a week or so. It's always evolved. It's episode 864 now, so it's been around.
It inspired me, and I think a lot of other people, to do podcasts, because I thought, wow, he's just a guy talking about his life, and it's compelling, and this is exciting, and this is what a new medium should be, something different and original but authentic.
Yeah. Well, and it's back at you. I mean, we have, you know, different models. I mean, doing different things, but both of us, you know, with Twit, the whole Twit network, it's all pretty much independent. Honestly, you know, I'm so busy with No Agenda, which is pretty much twice a week, you know, 2.5 hours. There's just a lot of prep that goes into that, and I'm very happy to be doing that. Just about the only thing I do, really.
For those not watching a video, Adam is wearing a T-shirt that has a barcode and says "slave" on it.
Yes.
What is the barcode?
I'm nothing but a slave, just living the American dream of getting by.
He's a slave to the barcode. We could put a sensor in his head, and then he'd be a slave to the RFID as well.
You should try and scan me with your...
Everybody should... Okay, let's get a nice clear shot of the...
I don't know if it'll work.
What does it say? Do you know?
It should take you to noagendashow.com.
Oh! Okay. The best plug yet. Good Lord, he's wearing a barcode to the show. Holy cow.
These are our official show T-shirts.
Well played, sir.
Very awesome.
But it's good to be on. I'm happy.
It's great. Nice. It's really great to have you. Thank you.
Adam, I was at Flipboard this week, which just announced audio from SoundCloud in there, and I was totally thinking
about
you.
Can you give us a demo of that? Do we have an over-the-shoulder shot, Chad, for this camera? Because this is actually pretty exciting, and it actually has inspired me to completely change our model.
Yeah.
So Flipboard, the new Flipboard, if you click the ribbon on the right, has audio as an audio entry now, and among Twit's on there. You don't have to actually. What are you looking for,
Adam Curry?
Because is No Agenda Show on there?
So you can. Are you on SoundCloud?
So you can. Oh, there he is. You can add shows by RSS.
Yeah,
but they also have an audio entry, and if you actually go back, if you would go back to the audio.
What's this split keyboard, Robert? That's pretty badass.
That's part of iOS.
Yeah, it's 5, built in.
Whatever.
Nobody knows about it.
Yeah, you just hold down this little button and you can.
So click the Twit icon. You found it. It's in the audio entry. There it is, right at the top.
So you can look at Flipboard. You can look at all sorts of different things.
But here's what I wanted to make a point. So click the Twit, or just go to audio and scroll down. It's in alphabetical order.
There we go.
So this is what our podcast looks like.
Oh.
On Flipboard, because it's not a magazine, it's just audio, so you don't have to play it. I think people who are listening.
So I'm playing it now, and now I can go back to it's playing in the background.
And you continue to surf or flip.
Right, so I can go to my usual.
So that's what I've been doing. But now go to NPR, because I want to show you what it should look like. So you see ours is just icons with each show.
Well, and it's playing in the background now.
Playing in the background. But if you go to NPR, which is one of the featured audio podcasts.
By the way, you get all this by this little red...
red ribbon, yeah.
Red ribbon.
And then there's an audio entry.
Yeah.
It looks very complicated.
Robert's not doing it right.
No, okay.
I don't know what you're doing, Robert. Just cancel. Cancel, 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 cancel.
There it is.
Cancel, cancel, go back. Okay.
It's a feature.
You do the thing. You click audio. It's right at the top. You don't have to search for it. There it is. Now, what's different about NPR is because they have all this textual content. Mm-hmm. Robert and Adam, this is the lesson I learned. nice. I don't know why I clicked on that one.
Nice.
But look, there's audio right here that you start listening, right?
Yep.
And it's a web page.
It's a web page, but this is the point, is that This is, I think, the future of audio and probably
well, here's the
video.
Question, Leo. Can you tie an RSS feed with podcasts and connect it to like show notes or something and have that?
Well, that's what I have to investigate. Because as you see, if you scroll down, I mean, most of these guys have little magazines. But if you don't, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get what I do and what others do, which is just basically icons that show you shows. And in our case, since every show has the same album art, it's a very boring visual presentation. So
don't you guys have different album art each time?
No. No, it's too complicated.
Oh, man, we do album art every single episode.
Yeah. But even then, all I would get is what I see here, which is different album art each time. But it's still not very compelling. And I think that this is the message, is that what's going to happen is you're the pod father, and both of us were early on in podcasting. It was a great thing, but just too hard for normal people. I mean, we've hit a ceiling with normal people subscribing and listening to podcasts. It has to somehow be more integrated into your normal life.
Yeah.
Well, the genesis of podcasting goes back to the days when we had broadband, but it was always on, and it wasn't very fast. You couldn't click something and have it play immediately.
Right.
So that's why the subscription model made a lot of sense. And these days, I mean, you go in the car, even on 3G, you can just click something and it starts playing.
And I think that, now, of course, Flipboard's done this very nicely, but it's not going to be the only way to do it. But I think Flipboard points the way to the future of multimedia content, which is, you're right, we're online everywhere.
Yeah.
We have high speed everywhere. So everything, it needs to be kind of an on-off switch where you say, oh, yeah, I want to start listening right now.
But as like a radio, you know.
It's a radio.
Sucks as a radio. It doesn't look, that's not handy.
Yeah. What do you want? Buttons? Five buttons in front?
A-track. In Facebook, it shows the same thing, my SoundCloud channel, and people can just click on it.
You've been using Spreaker lately, which is kind of an interesting iPhone app.
Although last night I just used the SoundCloud app because I go directly to SoundCloud.
And I've been using Audioboo, which is very similar. Audioboo makes an RSS feed that it becomes an iTunes feed. So it's easy to make podcasts. Look at Google Hangouts now.
Yeah.
If you have a Google account, Google Plus account, and you do a Hangout, you use Google Live, it's automatically a YouTube download. People can watch live. You're broadcasting. You're a television broadcaster. I mean, this has really changed since you started at MTV 20 years ago.
Yeah. Well, back then, Leo, as you remember, even the advertisers would be like, "That's not television. It's cable. What is that? That's disgusting. No one wants that. That's not going to be anything. That's lame."
Why I miss.
Tell that to Mentos.
The relationship that Twit used to have with Media
Skittles.
Because they used to put you in front of everything. I mean, they got your Roku app, and they would put you on TVs and in the Xbox. I'd love to see more Twit podcasts with audio transcriptions, because then you actually have written content to put next to something.
Well, I think we want to take the next step, and I've been talking with some people, and I think what we're going to do, and it's going to take us a while, and I'm not supposed to talk about it, but I do think that we're going to have to make it more of a magazine. More textual plus, and I don't think show notes are enough. I think it has to be, we have to have more editorial that ties back to the audio. We have to think of ourselves as multimedia artists, not just audio, not just video, but audio, video, and text in a form that can be consumed on Flipboard, on any platform.
Yep.
That's really hard. I mean, Leo,
we do
show notes, and you know, it's hundreds of links for every episode we do. But for you, you know, with this type of format, you'd literally need someone.
We have to build an editorial
transcribing
staff.
Transcribing along and collecting links and then publishing it. You know, it's a lot of work. It's another person, basically.
And Flipboard is trying to do that by taking your tweet and making it a laid-out magazine. I mean, this whole thing was created by one tweet.
Right.
You know?
This is Robert's Twitter feed. So, in effect, it pulls the links that you link to and makes articles out of them.
Right.
I think that the key is to start thinking of yourself as a multimedia creator, not an audio guy or video guy or a text guy, but a multimedia creator. Yeah. And we need to, as a network, be a multimedia network, not an audio or video network, but a multimedia network. And that does mean it means expense, because you have to hire staff. It means editorial. Yeah. You know, Roku, we're very close now to this Roku streaming stick. And this is very interesting. Have you seen this? We saw it at CES. This is a USB. It's a little bigger than the thumb drive. That you plug into, you need a special kind of HDMI port, which are increasingly available, called an MHL port. I have one on my new AV receiver. I plug that Roku into the USB port. That's a Roku box.
Yeah.
That is very awesome. I mean, I have a the old $79 version of Roku, but I can't live without it.
No.
I love it.
So imagine that instead of, and I see Samsung and LG and everybody building smart apps on their TV and they're crap.
Yep.
Because these people have no experience with user interface.
Not only that, I just don't believe in poking at a TV that's across the room. This is going to be my control.
So you
service.
Think the iPad with AirPlay might become the way you start consuming
or
content
something
on
like
screen.
That? You know,
it's a very interesting world,
and, or something.
And so as a content creator, and all of us are content creators, we have to start thinking about how our users consume us, and what's the best way to reach them. Right? Isn't that our job?
Yep.
How do we reach them?
Yep.
Fascinating times.
So the new model is the old model.
And the old is the new, and what's new is old, and I need my clipboard, so could somebody go get it for me, because this would be a good time for a commercial, but I have no idea what to
Freedom
say.
Freedom is slavery.
I think that's from Ecclesiastes.
For everything, there is a purpose.
Up is down.
And a time for every commercial under heaven. It's time to take a break. We're going to come back. I do want to talk about the Facebook IPO. That's the reason we've gathered you all together today, because... And the Zuck got married. I guess Priscilla Chan, who's been dating since before Facebook, since a freshman in Harvard, Priscilla finally said, oh, you're worth $19 billion? I'll marry you. No problem, Mark. What did they wait? They waited to the day after the IPO.
How about this? Oh, man, we got to do something to distract from that failed IPO. Zuckerberg, don't you have something you can get married to?
How do you make some headlines?
Hey, I want a failed IPO that's worth $105 billion.
Let's talk.
That's the headline already, Zuck. It's going to be Zuckerberg changes his status to married.
It's an interesting question. Is it a failed IPO? We'll talk about it in just a second. The Facebook IPO, and here it is, the lovely vision of Mark, the $19 billion man, and his new bride, Priscilla Chan. They got married yesterday in a surprise. They invited people to the wedding and said it was her graduation party.
Yep.
And then instead she shows up in white. She's graduating from spinsterhood. We're going to take a break. Come back with more. Adam Curry. Actually, it's the Podfather, the Godfather, and the Scobalizer.
Doesn't quite fit.
One of these things is not like the other. And who am I? Just your local friendly neighborhood announcer to tell you about Stamps.com. Stamps.com! Okay. Now, I'm not going to say that going to the post office is a bad experience. I'm just going to say that maybe it's something you can live without. Maybe in your life you could just not have to go buy stamps or go mail that package. Maybe you could just do it all from your desk. Wouldn't that be cool? Well, you can with Stamps.com. Use your computer, your printer. You don't need a postage meter. You don't need special inks. You just need Stamps.com, Mac or PC. They even will send you this USB scale. You throw the letter or the package on there, exactly the right postage. It looks professional. You can print right on the envelope if you want. You don't have to. You can have envelopes. You can have labels. You can print on postcards. Always the right postage. You never run out. You don't have to charge. You remember the days when people go to the post office to charge up their postage meter? Is that crazy? We don't have to do it anymore, thanks to the internet and Stamps.com. So I want you to try it. We have a no-risk trial. If you go to Stamps.com, you'll see on the front the $80. You might say, well, $80 no-risk trial, that's a good deal, no stop. Up in the right-hand corner, there's a radio microphone, one of those classic old 50s microphones. Click that, and then enter the offer code TWIT, T-W-I-T, and press go. And that will get, $80 just turned to a $110 bonus offer. $55 in postage coupons. A free digital scale you just pay shipping and handling. That's worth $50 by itself. A $5 supply kit, a four-week trial, all for using the offer code TWIT. This way you could see if Stamps.com is right for you. If you're an Amazon or eBay seller, you're going to love this. It prints out everything you need directly from those websites. So you don't have to type in an address, a name, or anything. And then the postage and everything. If you're an international mailer, every time I mail internationally, I bet Adam does that sometimes too. It's a real pain because you have to get the international money order and you have to get the special form. This will do the whole thing for you. And then the mail carrier comes and gets it and you don't have to get up out of your seat. Never fill out another post office form by hand again. Use stamps.com. $110 offer when you visit stamps.com and use our offer code TWIT. You're going to love it. That is an old picture of me. That's not a good look. So really interesting to hear you say a Facebook failed IPO, Adam. And I'm not sure I disagree with you, The underwriters decided to set the price before the IPO yesterday morning at $38. That was the price that if you were an insider, like you were a big trader with your brokerage, you could say, hey, cut me some of that Facebook stock. And, you know, it's the biggest tech IPO in history. It wouldn't be unreasonable to think it's going to what they call pop, which is come out at $38 but end up at $100 or $50 or whatever. And then even if you just wanted to sell at the end of the day, you'd make pretty good money. So
I took my company public in 96.
Oh, you've done this?
Yeah, I have. And so, that was a huge IPO, a big raise, $15 million. It was amazingly large.
Was this Metaverse?
No, this was Think New Ideas.
Oh, okay.
And which we later sold successfully to another public listed company, so, like 2 months before the bubble burst.
Yeah, you were in the bubble.
Well, 96 was a little bit before it, and you know we had we were making money, which was good. We had clients, but it was back in the day when we'll build a Reebok's website for $100,000. I mean, yeah, and then $10,000 a month maintenance. Yeah, so this is, you know, we saw the writing on the wall eventually, but I went through the process of taking a company public, and what it really comes down to is pricing the night before. And so it's the size of the float, the number of shares, and what the actual price per share is going to be. And I think they got greedy. And when investors, and of course, there was a lot of, more interesting to me was the coverage of the IPO, because you saw the day before GM came out.
Oh, it was the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and people GM tanked them. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it had to do with it. But if you look at right now, they're trading 74, almost 75 times earnings. That's very, very high. I mean, I'm pegging this stock to go down to 17. That's where I think it belongs. I think that's reasonable for what they can do, what they've shown historically in revenues and profits.
So that's the problem. You know, I was watching, it was really treated like the Super Bowl. I got up at 5:30 a.m. to watch CNBC because it was like a big event. They had reporters down at Hacker Square at the Facebook thing. And of course, Facebook was smart. They had the hackathon the night before, so there were thousands of employees there. Zuck spoke. They hooked up the NASDAQ bell there in Silicon Valley so he could press the, there's no bell for NASDAQ. It doesn't have a trading floor, but he pressed the button to start the trading day. And
then it took another half an hour.
Yeah. And then a little later they started selling.
Here's the problem with these IPOs. And I saw this in the bubble. So you have people who came into the company recently. They're getting options. Their strike price is going to be maybe a little bit under 38. Any new hires that come in, you can't just reshuffle the option pool. That's a big deal. So they have a strike price. And let's say, just for argument's sake, it's going to be around that 38 number. So now people are going to be very worried, like, oh, you know, either I have stock or I'm in lockup for 6 months. I can't sell anything. So on paper, I may look like I have $1 million. But every day it's going to be like, oh, how's the stock doing? How's the stock doing?
That's not good.
Huge distraction.
That's really what you don't want.
Particularly when it's going down, it really, really hurts a company. And I think that's what we'll see with Facebook.
I think that's BS. At Rackspace, when we went IPO, the stock went down and it didn't distract us. And the stock since then has gone up 10, I think about 10 times. You know, just to go out to IPO, you're trying to raise money for the company.
Yeah, let me understand this.
So, does
$38? Does that which is what they decided to sell it for? Does all of that money go to Facebook? Is that like what? So Facebook said we're going to have how many shares? Almost 1 million shares, right? At $38. Well, I forgot what it was. The total number of shares.
Well, not the entire amount because the insiders sold. So yeah. A portion of that went to a large portion, of course. Went to the people who sold the stock.
That's actually an important point. Some of these guys are making money right away. Like they check.
All the underwriters made a ton of money.
Peter Thiel, for instance, who famously was the first investor in Facebook, invested $500,000, ended up with $848 million on Friday. And he still has another $852 million shares, dollars worth of shares current price remaining.
But this
Zuck,
gives, this
Zuck
gives,
made $1.5 billion in cash, right like that. Mm-hmm. And he still has $19 billion outstanding.
If I could take a contrarian position here, I mean, I know why people are saying this is a bust, because they were expecting for the price to double, to go back to the good old days of the bubble when you would have an incredible rise in the stock price and the IPO was when people get paid. This is not a regular IPO. You're talking about a company that is 57% owned by a single man.
Yeah.
All he wanted was operating capital for his company.
I don't think he even needed to do this. I think the SEC rules made him do this. Well, at least they made him disclose to a certain point, and I think they figured, well, as long as we have to do all the disclosure a public company has to do, we might as well raise money on the stock market. But I don't think that this was – I think they put it off as long as they could, right? They could have done this a year ago. They could have done this 2 years ago.
Partly that's hype because –
You don't think so? I think Mark didn't want – well, you know Mark better than anybody.
I think he put it off to raise the price.
He wanted to make as much as he could.
Every minute that Facebook is out there, the price goes
up. Risky game, though.
It is a risky game.
Because the price could also go down.
It paid off. He collected $104 billion on Friday for his investors and his company. Now, I mean, on Friday night, what did he do? He went and bought a mobile company called Karma, right? He's going to have the resources.
He's going to spend that money, yeah.
He's going to have the resources to take over a lot of things.
Right.
And this is very good for Facebook. Also, on the other side, the transparency is going to force Facebook to be an adult company for once.
I think that's what Mark didn't want, though.
No, I think he does.
He did?
I think he does. He knows he's moving his company into being a brand that everybody respects and trusts. That is those two words are not used with Facebook today.
Well, in fact, with GM pulling out, it's $10 million worth of advertising, which is not a huge amount.
But GM pulled out of the Super Bowl, too. Is the Super Bowl dead?
In fact, I think it's more of a comment on GM's inability to use these markets appropriately than it is a comment on the use of
Facebook. And more interesting is how do they actually make money? If you have a so-called 900 million people, which I don't believe is correct, I think it's probably a fraction of that. But okay.
Really?
Yeah, I think that everyone has multiple accounts. The SEO guys have 50 accounts. Yeah. It's just a matter of how you count things. But in the case of Rackspace, Robert, that's a business where you're providing a service and people pay for it. I have five Rackspace servers. I love the service. I have an Amazon S3 servers, EC2. But we have yet to show that you can really place a good value on essentially display banner advertising. That's all they've got so far. And quite honestly, for the company that knows so much about the social graph, how could they not figure out that this IPO was mispriced? They should have had all the information at their fingertips.
Was it mispriced, though? They announced it at $38 and it came out at $38. If they came out at $17 and it went to $38, they would have not left money on the table. The purpose of doing an IPO is to raise money for your investors and your company.
You can't disagree, Adam. They raised the most money that they possibly could have raised, right?
Because it kept hitting 38 because the underwriters were buying stock like crazy to keep it above.
They kept it at 38.
Level.
You think?
Okay, on Monday it'll go down, and so
because they can't do that forever.
But they took the most amount of money off the table that they possibly could.
There should have been
a 37 or 35, maybe, but.
It's 120 to price to earnings ratio is 122.
This is not a normal IPO. This is not
that means that the stock price is 122 times what they earn.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And one of the reasons, and now I'm watching CNBC and Jim Cramer, who was actually great on this, and I was surprised because he seems like he's kind of crazy. But he was great on it. He said, well, what you can't account for is what's going to happen with the retail sales. The institutional investors pushed back about this price, but there was some concern that everybody all the kids who love Facebook would just say, well, I don't know anything about the stock market or price to earnings, but I want to buy Facebook. It's a good, and would buy it. And that's what the thought was, that this would pop, that it would go up to $50 because, and you know what? The kids or whoever did not fall for this. Somebody looked at the price to earnings.
Somebody fell
and
for
said
it.
It's too high. Well,
somebody
it came
fell
back.
For it. It still is
it went
valued
up to
at 140 billion dollars right now.
It went up to 45.
This is the largest IPO of history. It's not GM when they went out with their recent IPO.
Is Facebook worth more than Citigroup?
Yes.
It's worth more than these other companies? Really? All right.
Yes. We look at Facebook all day long. We're addicted to it,
but we're going to get more addicted to it.
And how often do you click on an ad, Robert?
I click on a lot of ads, but I'm playing around with it. The ads that are going to come are going to be on mobile. He's making $0 on mobile right now, and I can see a lot. And by the way, somebody said I bought a lot of stock. I don't own any stock in this company.
Oh, we should say right now. Who owns Facebook stock here?
I don't own any.
I don't.
I can't afford it.
Okay, yeah. So... Just so you know, I don't buy tech stock. Nobody here buys tech stock.
The time really to buy it for normal people to buy Facebook is right after the Google I.O. conference, because that's going to be where it either gets slammed because Google's going to announce something or it's going to start rising or do whatever. But at that point, then that's where rational.
But how do you answer Adam's criticism that Facebook's revenue right now is banner ads, display ads, which don't work?
He's absolutely right.
But well, that's part that's of the story, right? I mean, that's why he needs this capital.
Drunk people click on ads so they can get more drunk people.
I don't think it's about clicking on ads anyways.
So when people are investing in Facebook, there's a presumption that, well, Zuck is the fundamentals of this company are going to be good because Zuck is smart and he's going to figure out mobile.
Coca-Cola owns a sign in downtown San Francisco that costs, I don't know, $200,000 a month, something like that.
But they're selling sugar water.
But why do they do that? Is it because you go up to the sign and click on it? No, it's there on the side and it reminds you that Coca-Cola exists. This is why advertising is done. This is why Stamps.com bought an ad on your show to remind people that they exist.
I mean, one of the things that we keep forgetting. It's not all about clicks.
Hold on a second.
This is not a regular IPO.
Stamps.com is not necessarily branding. Part of it's branding, but it's also per inquiry. So you'd be there's a call to action. You need to either put in a code. All the ads work that way. I think the only brand advertiser is Ford, possibly, and they're making a connection with a tech-savvy audience. It's not exactly the same. And again, Coca-Cola sells an actual product. People take money out of their pocket and hand it to the company.
Yeah,
this is the difference. I mean, we've been through this. We've seen this. The banner advertising, it's marginal. And how do you grow if you really have 900 million people? How do you scale? How much bigger can you go? All of a sudden, you're going to make five times as much from each person?
Yes, they're making zero on mobile. And there's hundreds of millions of people who only use Facebook on mobile.
You know, all they have to make is a couple of bucks per user. Maybe it's not 900 million, as you say, Adam. Maybe it's, let's say, what would you stipulate? 100 million?
150 million. 150 million. Say.
So all they have to do is make 10 bucks per person per year to justify their stock price.
Yeah.
Could they do? Can you make 10 bucks per person per year?
You can with the money that you just raised in the IPO. I mean, again,
spending that money, acquisitions?
Spending that money in acquisitions and in development. I mean, one of the things that we keep forgetting is this is not a regular IPO. If this had been another LinkedIn, or if this had been another Groupon, absolutely, this was a bust. But this was a man who, by all means, has done very well for his company. Getting money for him to be able to invest in his money so he can leverage those 900 million users.
So you're not buying stock at Facebook. You're buying stock at Mark Zuckerberg.
Right. Well, right now it's irrational. I totally agree with Adam that the price is completely crazy right now. And it's crazy because we all use Facebook all day long. We buy stock.
Adam, admit that you're an outlier.
Yeah, possibly. But I do have an account. I only use it to see what my daughter's doing and to terrorize her friends. I love doing that. That's a lot of fun. That's not my daughter's friends.
That's a good reason to have.
You know, people are saying no, we don't. Okay, I just was recently at Disney World and I walked around and I looked at what people were doing on their phones. 70% were on Facebook.
Yeah,
walking around Disney World.
People clearly use Facebook. There's no question about that. I think when
but
you buy Facebook,
people
use Google. Google's making money. Network. Google's a valuable stock. It's at $600. I don't think the PDE is the same. But so the question is, can Mark figure out a way? I think you're betting that Mark will make some magic and figure out a way to make money on mobile. And I don't think it's too. You don't have to think too hard to think of a way or many ways he could make money on mobile.
And here's how. I'm looking at Flipboard. I'm looking at a GigaOhm article in Flipboard. And when I page through this. Whoa, there's a Polycom ad, a full-page ad.
And that goes, by the way, not to Flipboard, but to GigaOhm, right?
Yes.
That's a GigaOhm ad.
Well, GigaOhm is sharing revenue with Flipboard, right? And then you turn the page and you're back to GigaOhm.
You know what? I'll be honest. I just skip it real quick.
But these are ads like Wired Magazine has. And I don't think those work.
I think those don't work either.
They work enough for people to keep doing them and have been doing them for years. Right?
I think we can agree. The stock price was too high, except not for Facebook, but for investors. Facebook was just right because they made a lot of money. The question is, next week, what's the stock price? What's your target price, Adam, for Facebook in a week, in a month, in a year?
Okay, I can give you the 5 month and 5 year scenario.
Good.
Five months, the stock is at 17. 5 years, we're not talking about Facebook anymore. It's something else.
It's not a long-term hold.
No.
You're a short on Facebook.
We've seen this movie. Look at what has AOL become. Now it's a giant Xerox machine run by Arianna Huffington. I mean, we've seen GeoCities.
I think you're nuts.
MySpace.
Adam, I think you're right. Adam, by the way, what a great characterization of AOL.
Adam, is it true or what?
That's exactly right.
I think Adam is correct on one of the predictions, which is short term. I see it going down. long term, he is going to turn on mobile revenue. And for the next five quarters, he is going to beat his numbers. And that is going to cause the stock to have lift.
Target price.
This is what happens. This is what happens. And by the way, this is Zuckerberg's brilliance. Zuckerberg knew we were all going to buy this stock coming out of the gate. So he sandbagged us. He kept this revenue off the table until after the IPO.
Oh, he's been hiding his revenue.
He's been hiding the mobile revenue.
He's been slow playing his hand.
You watch. By the end of summer,
You're saying he's got five aces.
I think he's going to turn on this style of mobile advertising over the next couple of months. And he's probably going to turn it on right during the Google I.O. conference. Because Google is going to come out with a bunch of stuff for Google Plus. Right?
Slap him around.
And announce a whole bunch of new things and announce a new open graph.
Do you know something we don't know, or is this speculation?
Little bit of speculation, but a little bit of informed
Adams, that sounds right. I mean, sir, everybody would agree that Zuck is a sly devil. Right.
Well, I think he built a really great service and you know, oh, thank you, love. That's perfect. Perfect timing.
Did she bring you another fine beverage?
I needed that right about now.
This is what I always loved about Daily Source Code, by the way. People,
wait until 30 minutes from now. No, he built something great, but it's not part of the network. And with the network, I mean the internet. I do not believe in the advertising banner click model. I think, yeah, if you turn it on mobile, sure, you know, people will misclick. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Well, I clicked on it anyway. I just don't see the model as something that really works anymore. I think it's, you know, the only way you can make money with banner advertising, which is essentially what they do. I've looked at all the presentations. I follow it. I'm very interested. Is high volume, high volume of lots of people, some of them will be drunk, some of them will make a mistake, some of them will be interested, no doubt about it. But early on, brands were all sold on this, how many likes a brand had. And, advertisers are very, very smart. Agencies, not so. Agencies will sell a bunch of crap to the advertiser. But the advertiser, at the end of the day, go, hey,
did it make us money or not? They're going to
it's not
return
making any money.
On investments, very simple. Yeah. So are you saying that the open, free and open internet will return?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, this is the pendulum that always swings back and forth. I think the internet, if the internet was meant, it was not meant to be centralized. It wasn't built that way. I think we will see mom and pops. I hope we'll see mom and pops popping up again. Who will provide email to 100 people, you know, email services. There'll be, you know, little smaller cloud things. I mean, my goodness, my fiance just moved to iCloud and, you know, the mail's not working. It, you know, craps out. I mean, this is hard, hard stuff. And the more scale you have, the harder it gets. And if you do it in a smaller, I run my own mail server here at home. You know, I got like three accounts on it. It's enough. It works. So we're going to have to go back to that. And because of Facebook's inherent closed nature, it's not a part of the network. So,
that's why the analogy to AOL is apt, because that was also a walled garden that everybody used and thought many people thought it was the internet.
Except we haven't seen, you know, all my favorite apps, you know, whether it be Foursquare or Spotify or...
how much money are they making, Robert? Seriously.
Well, this is where he's going to turn on these new mobile ad network.
Talk about Foursquare and talk about Twitter.
They're making some.
Isn't
but it's
that
not
the bubble that we're in right now is that, well, this is location somehow going to turn a huge profit. You can't have this many users telling you this much about themselves without making money on it.
Yeah.
And the question is how?
And that's the big $64,000 question.
Robert, Robert's stuck out here in left field.
I've been hearing the end of the walled garden since the demise of AOL.
They keep coming back.
It keeps coming back. We keep going to a larger walled garden. Now, Facebook is not a MySpace. We've already seen that. You know, but Facebook has... Is yes, right now they've
they're
got
not a MySpace yet.
They're not a MySpace yet.
MySpace had tons of ads and it didn't work for them.
And what Adam's talking
about is
perfect. Yeah, it was only banner ads, and banner ads died in MySpace. But Facebook has something else, and I'm not bringing out the mystic Zuck anymore. I'm talking about it's gone beyond a critical mass where you have an ecosystem where you have people who are willing to buy the brand, not just the advertising in the site, but the actual brand for Facebook. And I think you've given a man who, again, I think is very intelligent, a huge war chest that he can now go out and get what he needs to get more money out of his 900 million users without it just being banner advertising.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's going to be yet, though.
I mean, look at Flipboard. This is my Facebook feed. It doesn't look like Facebook, but it's my Facebook feed.
And how does Facebook monetize that?
Well, they can buy Flipboard. And then they can put those full-page ads like GigaOm has right in there, and they can have audio ads in SoundCloud,
but,
right?
But I think Adam's saying that the display ads don't work.
I think they do. Otherwise, Wired Magazine would not exist.
But I can think of a lot of magazines that are gone.
A lot of magazines have disappeared, but a lot have come. I mean, when I go to
what's
there's
Wired
so many
magazine circulation. What's its circulation? People do actually pay for the magazine.
I don't think you're using a very good example, Robert. I hate to tell you, I don't know if display ads work. I really think that's what's going on right now.
So is there going to be there still is demand from advertisers to get in front of your face. Why did Stamps.com just sponsor your show?
Well, and I think Adam makes a very good point. Stamps.com calculates return on their investment very carefully. It's a little harder for Ford because it's a brand builder. But you're right. And Ford even wants to do a lot of research. They're researching constantly to see if they're getting brand recognition. So no company that's spending ad dollars and is intelligent is spending ad dollars into a vacuum. They're checking. Does this work? Does this produce results? One way or the other, they're not. And I think you're right, Adam. I don't know if it's the agencies that are that smart, but the advertisers whose actual money it is are very careful about where they're putting it. And in fact, I think that's one of the reasons you're seeing a real softening in banner ads right now, aren't we? Display ads are down.
It's horrible. I mean, what do you get for a click these days?
Nothing.
Penny?
Yeah. So I think that, and that's why advertisers are starting to demand, acquisition cost per acquisition instead of cost per click or cost per impression. They really want to make sure that they're getting their money's worth.
Yeah.
So I think this was all brought up before the IPO. Everybody said, well, here's the negatives. It could be another MySpace. Everybody could vacate Facebook because somebody else comes along. They haven't shown that they know how to produce revenue, and they certainly aren't producing enough revenue to justify that price right now. It's clear people who bought Facebook, and by the way, I would buy it if I could, believe in Zuck and believe in him and his team and his ability to somehow turn 900 million users.
And
we could say, if it's Adam's case, 900 million eyeballs.
And they're believing in their own usage
into something.
Model. They're believing in their own usage model. They're staring.
Well, and that was the dumb retail buyers that Jim Cramer was worried about, people who said, well, I like Facebook. I like McDonald's. I'll buy their stock without even thinking, is this a good value? Because that's the question. You may like Maserati, but is it $1 million car? Facebook's selling $1 million car here, right? Is that what we're saying, Adam, that this is just overpriced?
Well, if it was a car, it would do something for me. selling a sticker
now
on the
there
car.
We can go. Now I can really bite on you.
Facebook does do something for you.
Yeah. You know, and this
it helps you get laid, if nothing else.
No, Facebook is a new.
Oh, I'm sorry, Father. Please forgive me.
I thought that was Craigslist.
Craigslist.
Oh, he's smarter than I thought.
And informed.
We'll do confession later.
I hear confession. So
I mean, Facebook is a new media company where the media comes to you based on who you are. Yahoo is the old media company. You had to go to yahoo.com/sports or yahoo.com/sports.
It was a portal. That was the portal model.
And Facebook, you just sit here and it comes. I mean, it's been coming to me during this show. Media comes to me. And
one of the reasons
because I told it
who I am. How many ads did you click on during the show?
What's that?
How many ads did you click on during the show?
I haven't clicked on anything. I'm just watching it. No. There's a Verizon Fios ad right at the top here, though. I wish
Robert.
I could click on that Verizon Fios ad and buy Fios at my house, but they don't serve it in my house yet.
I like the idea that people are using Facebook. You know, I think the ability to find people and to have an address book of people online, that's the real magic sauce that Facebook provided. Now people are doing pretty much what they always do, you know, post funny pictures, quote of the day, here's my plate of food.
You really need to come and spend a couple hours with me and see what's on my screen, because I have none of that stuff on my screen.
You know what we need to get? We need to get Ben Ha in here, because if he can turn I Can Has Cheeseburger into money, then Facebook can turn its sites into money, right?
I mean, so there's a high volume business.
Right.
Very high volume.
Yep, lots of clicks.
With extreme virality, completely open, by the way. You don't need an account to take a look at it. And I don't know what he's doing. I don't know how much he's making. I'm sure he's making enough for his company and for himself. And I think there's validity in that. You know, but Leo, you're doing extremely well with the Twit network, but I don't think you actually believe you can scale it to a $1 billion company.
Oh, no.
And nor would you want to necessarily.
No.
And that I think is, you know, there's a couple things going on here that are very exciting to me. If you look at Kickstarter, there's a very interesting model where you have a company that's facilitating the connection of people and is taking a piece of the action, and people are getting what they want. And this is really the future, and I think the network itself is going to facilitate that tremendously, where I want a product, I want, there you go.
So $10 million on the Pebble watch.
Yeah. Yeah, so you want it, and you know it's going to cost $2.99 when it comes out. But you know what? I want it so bad. I'll toss these guys $50 to get it going. This is an incredibly interesting model. This is going to kill Hollywood and every other industry. Is people, users actually saying, "I want this, and here's how I want it, and I don't care who makes it for me, but just let's get it going. We don't need to wait for stuff, and here's the exact specification."
You don't think I think there's going to be Kickstarter fatigue, that people are going to start to realize. For instance, I've participated in 4 or 5 Kickstarter projects. One was Diaspora, $100 mm-hmm. down the tube. One was some dice that I never got, $150 mm-hmm. bucks down the tube. Yeah. Don't you think that there's going to be Kickstarter fatigue, that as inevitably, many of these projects are not going to produce a product that's worth anything? Who knows if that Pebble watch that I spent $125 on is going to work, is going to be any good? I think we're in a bubble, a Kickstarter bubble. I cannot imagine this is going to continue.
I'm just waiting for the first really bad case.
There's going to be a horrible example. Somebody takes $10 million and goes to Bermuda.
Woven's on Kickstarter, right? So they're trying to raise money, yeah. Right.
I mean, it's a great model right now. These guys, these Pebble guys, are very, very happy. They asked for $100,000. They got $10 million in a month. It just closed this week.
Yeah.
And I ordered a watch. But, you know, that's a pretty I don't think people who use Kickstarter realize how speculative what you're doing is. There's no guarantee you're going to get diddly out of that.
Yeah. I've been to Wim, which also makes a watch. And there was a Y Combinator company that makes a watch. And
This is a bubble. You know, this is not going to continue.
By buying a share of Facebook. I mean, there's no guarantees anywhere. No. Same amount you probably spent on the watch.
You know, Adam, I agree with you. I think in a few months, we're going to see Facebook below $20. I absolutely believe that. But I also believe that if at that point it got down to, say, $17 and I actually had money to invest, I would invest in Facebook. Not for Facebook, but for Zuck. Zuck has delivered. I mean, you can spin it many different ways, but he does have a vision, and I see that going elsewhere. And I think it actually goes beyond social.
But you're really doing a disservice then, because you're not giving Zuck anything. You're buying something from somebody else.
So no, and Zuck already got his.
If 900 million people said, "Hey, we really like this. Let's give Zuck, you know, $1 a month." What a great business! I would be jumping for joy, but why doesn't it work? Why doesn't anyone go that route?
That's interesting. I mean, I'm not recommending to do it. What if Facebook did say, let's start charging $1 a month? Could they do that?
Probably.
Yeah.
Some people would stay there.
I think they could, actually.
Yeah.
For $1 a month, make it cheap. Make it $5 a year.
You'd find out really quickly which accounts are actually
paid. Yeah, you would. We're talking about the week in tech, and of course we've got a great panel to do it. The Podfather, the Godfather, and the Scobalizer. We got more coming up in just a little bit, including a big eclipse that's coming. I don't know if you're going to see it in Austin.
Uh-uh.
That's too bad.
I don't think we can.
I think we're going to see a little bit of it here. In fact, we've set up the
flying saucers. We don't get cool stuff like eclipses.
We've got the eclipse cam set up over on my shoulder. It's currently offline.
It's offline.
But, yeah. As soon as the eclipse starts, you will see it first over the priest's nice. Shoulder.
Now, this is a full lunar eclipse, so it goes completely.
No, it's annular, which means it's a ring of fire.
Oh, right. So it has a little ring of the sun around
yeah,
it.
Yeah, the moon is slightly nice. Smaller than the sun's disk in this particular eclipse. Hasn't happened since 1994 in the U.S. and will not happen. We won't get a total eclipse until 2017, although I'm going on a boat in November to see a total eclipse in Australia. I'm excited about that.
Oh, Leo, I can't believe you haven't played the theme song then.
What's the theme song?
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
The theme song. Oh, come on, Leo.
Okay.
You're a disc jockey, aren't you?
Well, Adam, spin that disc.
It's slow.
You can't find Bonnie Tyler. He's searching. Are you using Spotify?
I got the search all right. It's just, here it comes.
Everybody, sing with Johnny.
Black. Love is a burning thing.
Great minds, Adam. I played this song at the end of my radio show. This Laverne and Ring of Fire. Breaking news, Robin Gibb has passed away, by the way, of the Bee Gees. He was sick. I knew that he was in ill health. So,
what a tragedy.
And we've been losing a lot of greats.
You got to go full screen if you're going to have him say that.
I work with those guys a lot.
Did you really? The Bee Gees?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
anybody who was a DJ in the late 70s, early 80s,
well, you know,
has mixed feelings about the Bee Gees. Can I say it that way?
Well, but this is not fair, because if you think about Spicks and Specks and
early Bee Gees.
Early Bee Gees. I mean, really, in all honesty, before Saturday Night Fever, it was the Stones. It
right.
was the Bee Gees were a part of that. The Kinks, of course, the Beatles. But I think the Bee Gees get, and I know they were frustrated about it. They get a little ripped off
because they're staying alive in 1977, and they became the disco group. And I think you're absolutely right. But the mining disaster, what was the name of that? The Springfield
1957, 47.
That was a great song, a classic
also,
song.
By the later, way, you know, this is a good example.
That album was a huge, huge hit. It was number one. On a Billboard chart for a couple months, I think. And they were great, great songwriters. It's just it really is just one tragedy after another for that family with Andy Gibb early on and Maurice and Robin. I mean, no, Maurice, of course, still alive. But it's just, you know, it's sad.
Robert, this is a Facebook moment, isn't it?
Well, it's Facebook and Twitter. I mean, Twitter, I'm sure, is going nuts as well. Let's go over to Twitter. You know, I have lists of world news and stuff like that on Twitter.
Whitney Houston passed away. I was at home. My son had some kids over. And one of them said, did Whitney Houston die? I said, I don't think so, but let me check Twitter.
Yeah.
And, of course,
I think she was killed.
All right, I don't want to be buzzkill right here, but what the hell are you talking about?
Well, let me tell you, I was the first one to say I thought Michael Jackson was murdered. And
well, you were right on that one.
And MSNBC hung up on me when I said it the first time.
Oh, really?
I have my sincere doubts about the Whitney Houston death.
You think she had a Dr. Feelgood in the house?
There's a guy, his name is Ruffles Van Exel.
Well, there's the problem right there.
You got to watch out for that guy.
I'd be angry.
Google him.
Everybody on Twitter is going nuts too. Washington Post, USA Today, stuff like that.
Ruffles.
Dead at age 60.
Ruffles Van Exel.
I'm careful with anyone named Van.
But this is an example, Adam, of where these things are going. These are media systems now. They're not just bringing me photos of my family. They're bringing me the news
but
of the day.
Sure, but you know what, Robert? I'm getting it on RSS right now too. It's an open system, open format. Nobody owns it. No one can shut it down. So I'm getting the same information.
Well, I would agree with you from a political point of view, Adam. It's far superior to have a free and open web. I mean, I have no doubt about that. But that doesn't mean it's going to win. That's just the political talk. That's just like what we want, which is a free and open web.
And what we're doing here with Facebook and in some cases Twitter is going to this model with its new discovery tab is a personalized view of the world based on who you are.
Social graph.
So it's studying it's studying everything about you. This is why you bought Instagram. Each photo you take is 6 to 15 likes, right? You're telling it a lot about who you are by taking a photo.
And the point is that we've yet to see anybody figure out how to monetize that.
I believe that's coming. And I'll bet you, Adam, $100 that we're going to see some major monetization happen on mobile in the next year.
Well, there's a lot of people betting $38.32 a share right now. Hey, let's take a break. Come back with more with Buzzkill. I mean, Adam Curry. I'm Crackpot for the evening.
He lent me a slide whistle.
I'm just going to say, Adam, if you had called me, biggest mistake I ever made was back when I was doing a radio show with John in 1991. I gave him a computer loaded with sound effects.
Oh, man.
Big mistake.
But yeah, now he's got like the coconuts for the clippity clop noises, and it's cute though.
It's cute. It's his shtick.
It's cute.
You know what? No Agenda show is huge. It's huge, and now twice a week.
And good for you.
I do that for the chat room because they have a drinking game. Every time I say now twice a
really?
Week. Tanya Hall, who does a radio show out of Denver and talks a lot about social media. She's a syndicated radio broadcaster, says this Twitter is much better than just an RSS feed. She's talking back using Twitter, talking back to Twit. Damn them for changing, for making my name.
It's a real-time world, isn't it?
This show brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces, those good folks at Citrix who have been big supporters of all our shows since day one, and I am eternally grateful to them. I wanted to tell you a little bit about how GoToMeeting has gotten better and better. I did a GoToMeeting just the other day, and they said, "Do you have your iPad?" I said, "What, what?" And they said, "Bring it out." And I had the and they said, "Put the GoToMeeting client on there." And I joined a meeting from my iPad, and I was using the camera on the iPad, and there we all were. We were all sitting there with our iPads. It was so cool. GoToMeeting now has video. They call it HD Faces. And it works not only on a Mac and a PC, but now with an iPad as well. You can attend the meeting, the audio and screen sharing portion on the iPhone, but you can get the video on the iPad too. And by the way, you don't need to use a conference call bridge anymore, a phone at all. It all comes right through your iPad with the microphone and the headphones. And you're in the meeting and you're talking to people. And you could be out in the backyard by the pool. You could be enjoying yourself. This is a truly huge improvement and typical of Citrix. They push this out at no cost to you. It's just, you know, we're going to upgrade it. I want you to try GoToMeeting right now. 30 days, absolutely free. Unlimited use. As many meetings as you want, as long as you want. And that's one of the things I like about GoToMeeting. It's flat fee, $49 a month. And you just use it as much as you want, as many times as you want, as long as you want. You don't have to watch the clock or count your meetings. And first month's free. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the try it free button. The offer code is TWIT. If you've got a webcam, fire that up. It is so easy. It's never been easier. It's much easier than Skype, I got to say. In fact, we had Michael Guarnieri of the Citrix gang was out the other day. And I said, Michael, if you could figure out how to make a single picture with this, we would use this for Twit. It would be so much easier than Skype. Yeah. So they said, well, we'll get our engineers to work on. So maybe we'll start using GoToMeeting. That would be very nice. You can use it right now. GoToMeeting.com. Click the try it free button. And use the offer code TWIT. And more breaking news, this time from our chat room. Looks like Alibaba and Yahoo have made a deal. Alibaba is the Chinese Chinese search engine, I should say. There has been rumors that Alibaba would buy back its stake in, or rather Yahoo would buy back its stake in Alibaba. And apparently Yahoo found $7 billion somewhere in the sofa. And maybe it's a, I don't know why actually this happened.
I love a Roman-esque woman.
It ain't over to the fat lady sings. And apparently on All Things D, Kara Swisher has found that the fat lady is singing. So this has been rumored for a long time. Alibaba, I think, wanted to get out of Yahoo as best it could. So Yahoo is selling back half its stake in Alibaba for $7 billion. Oh, I guess Yahoo gets a $7 billion for Alibaba. Got it. Took me a while to figure that out.
I don't think Yahoo has $7 billion.
No, it couldn't go the other way. What was I thinking? Yeah, Alibaba's selling back, is buying back. It's saying, oh, we're out of here. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You can keep the dishes. Yeah.
Why did you paint the floor? So you can't see the eclipse. We're going to all run out after the show and look at the eclipse. We've got the eclipse cam going. This is an annular eclipse that is a ring of fire, as Adam pointed out. And it's offline right now.
I'm actually going to go out there and look straight at it. Just
good idea.
No glasses,
I don't believe that hurts in any way.
No,
I think,
no.
In fact, blindness is, you know.
It's an eclipse, right? So there's no sun. I mean,
yeah, actually, that's the problem is it looks dark, but it ain't.
It'll hurt less than buying Facebook,
exactly.
Right?
With much longer term effect, I would believe. Yes, don't look at the sun. I think we found number 14 arc welder glass. Did we? Burke thinks he found it.
Burke bought number 10 arc welder glass.
Oh, no, that'll blind you.
And you can't, yeah, you can't stack it. He was just like, oh, we'll stack it up. Not possible.
By the way, Chris Marquis had.
If you ever want to look at an eclipse without looking at the sun, just poke a little hole in a piece of paper.
That's what I'm saying. The pinhole camera.
And you just hold it a foot away from the white paper.
As a kid who did that, it sucks because you're not looking at the sun. You're looking at what looks like a shadow.
Yeah.
You want to look and say, oh, look, the moon's blocking the sun. And by the way, I still can't see out of the left side of my eye. So just don't do that, kids, unless you have number 14, not number 10. I can't believe Burke went out and bought number 10 welder's glass for me. Let me see.
I once welded for like 30 minutes without glasses when I was
Did you look at it?
for like half an hour, just like, oh, you know, it was the old electrode. And like, ah, I can just do this, just a quick little point thing. And I woke up in the middle of the night and it was the worst feeling ever. Just my eyes were on fire and streaming tears. You should got to be careful.
Yeah, you actually can really burn your retinas. Yeah. So somebody likened it to using a magnifying glass with the sun to burn a hole in a leaf. You don't, because the lens of your eye actually focuses it on the back of your retina, and it's not good.
You actually get that with enterprise work. If you're doing any splicing of fiber, you always have to make sure everyone knows not to light it up, because you can't see it. And as you're examining the end, you actually look through a magnifying glass at the fiber.
No.
And you don't know it until the next day.
Is it very bright?
You can't see it. It's invisible light. So the saying is don't look into the fiber with your remaining good eye.
That's the sun. There's the eclipse. Oh, you got some.
That's the sun.
Thank you.
Oh, there it is.
Are you going to return it?
Oh.
Let's keep it. It's cheap.
Oh, that's a great shot. A little cloudy.
There it is. There it is.
Yeah, nice.
The eclipse has... Is that real?
That's Pedo Bear.
Are you calling Robert Pedo Bear or the eclipse?
No, I'd never do that. Man of the cloth.
I can't see it. It works. You can't see anything through this. Well, how could you? This is number 10, and you can't look ahead, Robert. Can you see anything through that?
I can't even see the lights here.
No.
I got one of those.
And that's not enough? Look, Adam, where'd you get yours?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's my Galaxy Note.
Oh, by the way, this just in, it is safe to look at the eclipse through a Galaxy Note.
It's very safe.
Do you use a note?
Yeah, I just got one, and actually, you influenced me on that.
It's awesome, isn't it? Do you like it?
Well, I have big hands, so yes, it works.
Well, you know
what
that means.
Big phone.
Hard to find shoes.
About the battery in the beginning, I saw an S3 this week.
No, the batteries are, and you could buy three of them. You have an S3?
No, I saw one.
That's 9 million they've sold of those. That's iPhone numbers.
This might be the death of my Apple fanboyism. This might be the one that gets me. This thing is just so fast, and so the screen is so stunning.
You know what's wrong with it? You're running Android.
Oh.
Yeah, Leo, have you?
Aren't you running Android on your Note?
What did you say, Adam?
Have you tried a different ROM on it yet?
No, because I just got ICS. They pushed Ice Cream Sandwich.
The Note.
Oh, really? On
AT&T? Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get that yet.
You'll get it any day now.
I'm a big Cyanogen Mod 7 guy.
Me too. I like CM7, and CM9, of course, is ICS. And yes, you can put CM9. The reason I don't use those ROMs often, end up not using them, is because always something doesn't work. Like the GPS doesn't work or the camera doesn't work. And it's like...
Oh, no. I had the original Google phone, you know, the
Nexus. The Nexus worked fine.
Yeah. And I would see him on that, and it was fantastic. Sure. And I loved it.
That phone is basically unlocked. But I don't... The Note ROMs were not perfect yet. However, I do have Ice Cream Sandwich now on the Galaxy Note. It's very nice.
Yeah.
And doesn't have the issues...
taking a screenshot and then drawing mustaches on people.
Yeah, isn't that fun? Yeah.
That's the extent of it.
So I can't believe that this would be unsafe to use, because I can't. I mean, I can. Well, I guess I can see the lights. I can barely see the lights. Yeah. I think I'm going to use this.
Every step up is a doubling of the obscurity.
So 2 by number 10 is equal to 1 by number 11.
So 2 it's by logarithmic. 11 is equal to 1 by 12.
So 14 is a lot. How could you even see anything? I'm going to use this. Well, it's going to be fun.
We've got two interns, right? They could test it.
You know what I'm going to do anyway. I'm going to go, son, no, I won't look.
I'll just choir boys, Padre.
Exactly. Well, if you just blink back and forth really quickly, I think you'll be okay.
I'm going to try it with this, and I'll let you know tomorrow.
Hey. If he comes in with a guide dog, we'll know.
Nah, don't mess with it. That's for sure. Yeah. Microsoft. Hey, interesting. Just launched their social network.
Oh. What's the name again?
Did we start the show by talking about this?
No, we weren't on there. This is why we need crickets, a cricket sound effect. Do you have one, Adam? Microsoft just launched its social network.
Crickets.
If you see something, say something.
If you see something, say something.
I think we should report them for terrorism.
Microsoft left a package at the airport called SO.CL unattended. The police came, blew it up, and there was nothing inside. SO.CL, even the name sucks. What the hell, Microsoft? You couldn't do better? How do you pronounce that? Sokol? Social?
Sokol.
So
something. So silly.
So silly.
So silly.
Oh, perfect. Yes.
What is Microsoft thinking? So if you... Oh, there's the other fun thing. Here, I'll sign in. It says you want to sign in with Facebook.
Yeah, except it doesn't use Facebook very smartly. It should bring my social graph over here and sign everybody up.
You know, so it doesn't even do that.
Oh, you see, this is the problem. You know, if only you could get your stuff out of Facebook and put it on social.
That's true.
Whatever.
True. I'm in a walled garden, and I like it.
Look, here's an ad for Google Plus on Sokol. Go to my screen. Yeah. This is great. There, right at the top of the page, there's an ad for Google Plus.
Adam Curry is doing his best to channel Dave Weiner.
What does Weiner think of Sokol?
Oh, he hates this stuff. He's like, Adam, he wants to...
I've actually been working with Dave for the past 2 years on some stuff, and I'm pretty influenced.
I could tell. That's why I brought it up.
Hey, look, you know, I am exactly in your camp. Free and open web, absolutely. I just sometimes despair of the chances that it'll succeed. But
it's always going to succeed.
I love that.
And the open web is different from the network. If the network were controllable, we'd be paying tax already. Trust me.
Right.
If the government could do it, they would. But you can't. Ethernet and a TCP/IP, it's magical stuff. You can route around it in so many ways. Can they shut down portions of the web? Yeah, of course. There's all kinds of things that can be done. But can you really, really turn the network off and really remove it? No, I don't think so.
God, I hope you're right.
Me too.
Well, seriously, for all of our sakes, this Twit wouldn't exist without the free and open web. We ride right on top of it, on RSS, on the fact that we can use a variety of channels to stream to get to you. We need that.
The free and open web's not going to be killed by something like Facebook. It's going to be killed by Comcast.
Well, may be.
There's an excellent point right there. You know, Leo, people don't need Facebook to enjoy your show.
No.
You're working around Facebook. I'm working around Facebook. It's not the be-all and end-all. It's not necessary.
I never said it was necessary. I just said it was
people
necessary.
Love it. People love it.
Yeah, people love porn, too.
People love porn. Hey, nobody lost money investing in porn.
No.
Right? I mean, I'm not.
Well, actually, yes. Now they have. The last couple of years.
How do you know open this, web, Robert?
I pay attention to trends.
I'm so sorry. You're never going to be treated as a normal person. You're probably used to it. I'm so sorry.
No, but seriously.
Former employee of my first company.
There was a huge porn industry enclave in Henderson, Nevada, right outside of Las Vegas.
That's right.
And it has dried up, sorry. Completely dried up. And there's no one working there anymore. They're not frequenting the restaurants anymore. And they say,
you know,
the
why?
Open web has
the
killed
internet.
Porn.
Because because of piracy. Piracy's killed porn. Right?
No.
Oh, amateurs have
You were saying, Adam, you have an employee?
Former employee, a guy who worked for me at my first company in New York. He was an art director.
Amateur porn?
Kept in touch. Sorry?
I've just heard what Robert said, that amateur porn killed the professionals.
I read this. Amateur porn has killed the professionals.
So he contacted me. I was going out to L.A. to visit my daughter. He said, oh, come stay at my place in Malibu. And I went there, and I was like, oh, my God, this is like a $20 million house, you know, Ferraris. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And he started a porn company, but a really high-end, you know, he shoots with red cameras. He does, you know, really.
4K porn. I don't know if I can take that.
But you know what it is? It's and Robert will like this. It's not so much about the porn itself. There's a community, the people who pay $19.95 a month, they're extremely involved in the actors and what the girls are doing. And then, you know, they'll do chat sessions. And they've really built this huge community of porn. And people are paying for that gladly. But it's not just about the, you know, the movies, because, of course, the stuff gets bit-torrented like crazy.
Right.
But people keep paying for what that real community is.
Social porn.
Well, now I know that 4K has a future.
Remember when that was the bellwether?
Yeah, it is. It still
everyone
is,
thought HD DVD was going to win because the porn industry had accepted
HD DVD. Yeah,
how do
you even play back 4K porn?
If Facebook... See, this is the conundrum with Facebook. I know lots of webcam girls who get kicked off of Facebook because, you know, they show some side boob or something that's going on.
Right.
And then their accounts are closed. They can't utilize Facebook. And if they could, there would be a lot of money flowing through Facebook. But of course, because of what they are and what they've become, they can't do that. So it's a real conundrum. But that would that would be something I would believe in.
So we've actually now figured out what Mark Zuckerberg's secret plan for monetization is: side boob. Is that right?
It's a special channel.
So I'm just
your
okay.
Profile will get
deleted. That's a different kind of open graph that I think he's talking about.
I'm so sorry, folks. I didn't want to go there. Here's a Sokol.
When you invite me, Leo.
No, it's me. It's not you. It's because I'm sitting next to a priest. So there's something about me. I'm a rebel. And as soon as that happens, I go south. So SO.CL, Microsoft Social Network. Here's the test. I'm on it right now. This is the everyone feed. How far down do I have to scroll before I see that Robin Gibb passed? That would be a good test, wouldn't it?
I don't know.
First I'll refresh it so we make sure we have the latest. This is the latest everyone feed.
I looked at it this morning, and only Microsoft employees were on
it. I'm scrolling down. Hello World.
The Windows phone. There's a picture of the Eclipse.
There's finally the Eclipse.
There we go. The world of music mourns the death of Gibb.
It's pretty far down.
I'm almost to the bottom of the page.
Corey said he just started breaking news up here on Sokol, the guy who started breaking news on Facebook and
Twitter.
Well,
that's telling.
Yeah.
He's the guy who sold it to CNN for some unknown amount. Boy, I had to scroll pretty far down. This is not yet a lively network.
I'm 3/4 of the way down.
Large breasts.
Here we go.
Here it is. Yeah. Large breasts, free porn videos.
If you followed breaking news on Sokol, you can.
So I need to follow them.
He has the BG News.
But that just, I mean, to me, that shows you that this has a ways to go.
It's not a bad interface. It's just why.
It looks like Google Plus to me.
That's what I said today, too. Yeah, exactly. And is Google Plus getting us all hot and bothered? How many people are hot and bothered by Google Plus in the audience? Nobody.
No, and that's one funny thing. I mean, people are using Google Plus. There's no doubt about it. They're very devoted. And they will make a lot of noise about how, no, it's great, it's vital, it's exciting. But I think it's a relatively small group, and it's not anybody I know, and that's really what it comes down to. Is anybody you know using it? Is anybody you know using Facebook? Everybody.
Yeah.
Or
most people.
That's the network effect.
I spoke to two audiences of about 600 people this last week, and I asked that question, and 5% of the hands went up that they didn't use Facebook, but that means 95% are.
You know who Sokol's for?
Students.
For the millions of people in Asia buying Windows phones.
Oh, that could be. Here's the story from CNET. Microsoft quietly launches Sokol social network. Software giant's experiment in open search is designed to be a research tool in which students share information. So maybe we're misunderstanding it. Maybe it's not a social network.
Well, that should take us right into the knowledge graph.
And that's what Google launched. And that's what Google launched. So if you can't beat them, create a new buzzword. This week, Google launched the knowledge graph. Bull crap,
very bad idea.
What is it? I don't even know what it is. And I interviewed Matt Cutts this week.
The way I see it, they're now going to use their crazy algorithms to figure out what you're actually asking for, and then they're going to get the facts from Wikipedia and the CIA fact book. Awesome. That's the whole reason the internet is cool, why search was so cool, because you can get these crazy websites, and you can jump from one to the other and really learn something.
Now you don't have to.
Wikipedia and CIA fact book. Give me a break.
So here I am. I've searched Robert Scoble. Now, I don't know if I'm getting it. Is this it?
Yeah, that's the thing on the right is the knowledge graph.
So there it is.
Knowledge graph.
Robert Scoble is an American. Where does this text come from, Robert? Is it American? Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
So here's the Wikipedia entry. Here's the Google Plus information.
Which, by the way, I didn't have anything to do with my Wikipedia entry.
Right. But it's the truth. It's the knowledge graph.
It's totally the truth. Because I didn't write it.
Here's your latest post on Google Plus.
Science!
Wait a minute. I want that. You have an echo chamber?
No, I just have the...
It's a button.
The science is in! The knowledge graph rocks.
Chad, you don't have that, do you?
When did this turn into the No Agenda show?
I came on.
Now, look who they say I should search for since I'm searching for you. And I wonder if you agree with this. Dave Weiner, Michael Arrington, Vic Gundotra, their own Google person, Guy Kawasaki, and Kevin Rose.
Do you think he had a little finger on the scale to get his icon in a lot of searches?
Let's search for Adam Curry. I'm very curious.
This is probably because they're comparing your contact details, which they've taken one way or the other.
So Adam Curry.
Leo, you thought your picture was bad. What the heck is that?
How old is that, Adam?
And I wasn't born in Washington, D.C.
That's
my ex-wife.
Right.
It's all fact. Science is in. It's great. Thanks, Google.
Well, clearly the knowledge.
My fiance is next to my ex-wife in that picture.
Well,
check that
there,
out.
That's a happy thing.
That's awesome. Thank you, Google. That's your knowledge graph right there.
Mine isn't wrong at any point.
No, the picture is very wrong.
It does list my home address, which is not really cool. I just noticed that. What the hell, Google? Would you search for my name just to see if you see my home address?
I do not.
Scroll down. Oh, thank God. It was just me. No, that's my home address.
Oh, my gosh.
Leo, I think this is really a huge...
Okay, I now hate the knowledge graph.
Oh, wait. It's a limited thing, though. So,
oh, it's because you're my buddy.
You're circled, right?
Yeah.
You're my buddy.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
You gave your friends access to your home.
This is a really big mistake that Google has made.
I'm crashing that party tonight, by the way.
Come on over.
And it really opens the door for... well, anybody to just do search the way we like it, what we really want.
Well, and that's isn't that the challenge? Isn't that their challenge though? How do you improve search? How do you know what Adam Curry was looking for?
I like the original Google idea where they had the page rank. I think that worked pretty well. And you had to learn a little bit of Boolean language, plus or minus something, or use and. I mean, how hard is that? Are we total idiots? Now it's pulling from Wikipedia. That's like
not so good.
Here's what's going on, though.
Here it is.
The Book of Knowledge.
It's the Book of Knowledge. Come on. This is not the Book of Knowledge. This is not fact. It's not true.
We just want search results.
It's all one source, and it's gained.
Yeah. The problem is, Adam, and Google has the same problem that Facebook has. Their monetization of this stuff is going down. Their last quarter wasn't all that great because the results that they're showing us on Google are so good that we don't stick on these pages. We don't search them. You know, when Google first started I got into it in 98, I think. I went through – I would have to do two or three pages worth of searches just to find what I wanted.
But you know what I've been running? I've been running Yacy
spell that.
Yacy. It's an acronym for yet another search search engine, I think. And
not in my book.
It's open source. You can run it on your laptop. You can run it anywhere you want. You can tell it what sites to spider, what you're looking for. It can spider RSS feeds even, which is kind of cool. And you can create your own search world. It connects through a BitTorrent Swarm. And it's not really user-friendly yet. It's not something that everyone can install and make work right off the bat. I got it done.
Oh, it's software.
It's software, yeah. And it's open source. I think that we need to move back towards stuff like that. We're going to have to. You're absolutely right, Robert. The search model is kind of ending. The SEO guys know how to gain. If you type in, I don't want to plug it, but if you were to type in the name of our show, you'll see that we have the first 9 pages belong to us. That's completely gamed and SEO'd. While those words aren't necessarily owned by us, this is what Google is up against.
So wait a minute, you use your users, your listeners, to game it. That's actually quite clever.
Actually, the guy who does SEO for the Ron Paul campaign did our SEO.
Oh, jeez. And now he's got a lot of free time now, so you're going to get even better.
You watch out for that convention, Leo. Look out.
I thought Ron Paul withdrew. I thought he withdrew.
No. He's just not campaigning any new markets, but he's gathering. He just got 38 of the 40 delegates in Minnesota.
You think Ron Paul will be the Republican nominee?
I would love it to be. It's not impossible.
Yeah, that and the free and open web.
Ron Paul's like the crazy uncle that everybody likes. But
see, now that's just being completely ageist, and that's really insulting. I don't say anything about your collar.
So if I search for
Adam, you should have stuck with Facebook predictions.
If I search for no agenda, you're saying that all of these results have been SEO'd in.
Yeah.
Nice job.
Page after page after page.
But I think that's, Adam, more reflection of the fact that the term no agenda show is unique, really.
Yeah. We don't even own noagenda.com. Yeah, we have noagendashow.com. But this is just... It's our audience, but a lot of it is done by SEO. And that's outrageous when you think about it.
So you're not doing this, but you have a guy who does.
He did it for us once, and it stuck.
Like noagendanovels.com.
Oh, yeah, we got tons of crazy things that people set up for us. Yeah, they wrote a whole book about us.
And what was it? Dvorak was saying a couple of weeks ago that if you search for, I don't know, ricksantorum.com or something, it would go to
Noagenda. Oh, no. What's the guy on Fox? Sean Hannity.
Oh, SeanHannity.com.
We own Sean Hannity. Well, we don't. Someone owns it and is forwarding it to our website.
Yeah, no, Santorum goes someplace else.
Yes, I
we
know.
We do have RickPerryIsAnIdiot.com.
This is the power of community, Adam. This is where you've succeeded so well. It's the power of a devoted, it may be not even huge, but a devoted community that is engaged and activist on your behalf. It's huge.
Well, it's yes, but it's also the result of a quality product. That's
of
all.
Of course, you don't get it without having something that people love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it takes. Now, you have a quality product.
Our fans aren't this crazy. I don't know if you search for Twit.
The Twit army is out of control. Are you kidding?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This is not. This is
just ask Mike Arrington.
Like, in the chat room. No. That's the nothing wrong with your community, Leo.
No, I'm not. I love.
They're very anti-me right now, by the way.
Oh, that's normal. Actually, you know what? We do own the first few pages of the results for Twit, and that's pretty good considering that Twit, in fact, is a pregnant goldfish. Ah, see, then the Monty Python starts to sneak in. That's pretty good. And that's good. Twitter hasn't ruined Twit for me yet. There's a few Twitters in there. Let's take a break and move on. I want to talk about the MacBooks. Lots of rumors about a new Ivy Bridge MacBook. And maybe the last MacBooks. I wouldn't be surprised if Apple gets out of the desktop and laptop business entirely. Goes all mobile. What do you think? We'll talk about it when we come back. But first, a word from Audible.com. I love Audible, and you, I know, love Audible because I hear from you all the time. One of the things that happens with people who become Audible subscribers is they can't help but just go, oh, have you listened to? Oh, you know what just came out? Oh, this is exciting. Talk about a community when you make a great product. It's true. Go to Audible.com if you want to find out more about this. What it is an audio bookstore, more than 100,000 titles. Great books, too. What's the number one book? The Softcore, 50 Shades of Grey, even at audible.com. Lust triumphs over evil. I do not recommend this because the woman who reads it, well, I'll just play a little bit for you.
Chapter 2.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Leo, can you get me a deal with these Audible guys?
Why? You mean you want ads or you just want a book?
Well, no, I do something called the Big Book Show, and I interview an author every week.
Oh, you should be an Audible. You should have Audible.
Yeah, because all I can do is like, it's basically 20 minutes. I just talked to the New York Times best-selling authors.
That's awesome.
It's a lot of fun.
Where's that show? I want to hear it.
Sorry?
Where is it? What's the?
Well, I'm going to tell you, and then it's going to crash because in no way will my search. It's bigbookshow.com, but it'll crash with everyone going to it. It's not on Squarespace.
It features interviews. This looks really, what a good idea. Yeah, I'll talk to the Audible folks.
Thank you.
Yeah, this would be great for Audible.
It's a Skype interview, and there's zero money in it. I literally do it for fun. But maybe I can put a link to Audible in there.
Yeah, I would do it for fun, too, because that's one of the things I love to do is interview smart people. That's a really good project. Yeah, I mean, Audible.
Well, what happened to today's show?
I don't know. I got the podfather, the godfather, and Escobalizia. No, actually, this is one of the most insightful shows we've had in a long time. And we did, by the way, just kill your bigbookshow.com. I hope it doesn't cost you more. David McCullough's got a new book out. I am a big David McCullough fan. Now, that's a guy you should get on your show. The epic story of the building of the Brooklyn Bridge. I got it. This is for sure on my list. Anything he comes out with, he's just really great. Now, this one. Now, listen. Now, David McCullough actually reads his John Adams book, and he is one of the great narrators of all time. But Nelson Runger reads this one. Now, listen to this.
At his request on at least six different occasions.
It sounds just like David McCullough.
February 1869.
They hired a guy who sounds just like David
McCullough. With everyone present, there were just 9 in all.
You got to listen to audiobooks from Audible.com. They have the best readers. They have the best books. And right now, they have the best price. Your first month is free. Your first book is free. And it's yours to keep forever. Cancel at any time. Actually, you get 2 books or 2 credits at audible.com/twit2. How about this one? This is one for the Curry Nation. The Art of Intelligence, Lessons from a Life in the CIA's Clandestine Service.
I'm actually waiting for the new Daniel Suarez book.
Oh, yes. That's going to be out soon.
I I love.
He wrote Demon and Freedom TM. Let's see if.
Oh, I read them one after another.
Yeah, he's amazing. And Demon and Freedom, you should listen to. They are really. In fact, let's make these your two books. I'll make this your recommendation. I haven't talked about this in a while. Daniel's fantastic. He's
a great author. Who's reading the book?
Jeff Gerner. It's good. I listened to it. That's how I read these books, and it's very dramatic. Oh, they're starting at the beginning, so you won't. I don't know if you'll.
Penguin Audio presents Demon by Daniel Suarez.
Yeah, that's his voice.
Read by Jeff Gerner with Garrett Scott.
It's really good.
Oh.
D-A-E-M-O-N.
Oh, cool.
Demon. Noun. A computer program that runs continuously
if you just start this book. Just listen to the excerpt on audible.com. You will download it, I promise you.
See, that's I love that because you can do different stuff with audio
exactly.
than you can't do in print.
It brings it to life. This book, when you're listening to it, you see the movie. And I know it's been optioned, and I'm sure there will be movies for Demon and Freedom. These two books can be yours absolutely free. Go to audible.com/twit2. You'll be signing up for the Platinum Plan. Two books a month. First two books are free. This one is a great start. Daniel Suarez, Demon, and then the sequel. And you need both because Demon ends and you go, Fortunately, Freedom is out. And Daniel has written a new book about predator drones. This is his new book. And I cannot wait to read it. It's going to be out any minute now. We'll get
I love me the predator drone.
Oh, yeah. As Morris says in the chat room, Audible is such a no-brainer. Do it. Now, that's an endorsement from our audience. Audible.com/twit2, two books for you. Yeah, what? Now, let me ask you, Crackpot.
Sure, baby.
Didn't they legalize predator drones for use in the U.S.?
No. And I'm a pilot, so I actually follow this stuff. I fly helicopters and airplanes.
What did they legalize?
Well, they haven't legalized anything yet. The FAA has to have implementation of regulations by 2015. And the rules the way they are now is that the drones will not be allowed. Because, you know, the space above your head of your house is yours, the airspace. There's some overfly rules, but they will not be allowed to fly under 500 feet. So here in Texas, the way I see it, if I can actually see that thing... And I can hit it with this, and it was under 500 feet.
It's the first time anybody's pulled a gun on Twit. That's good. I like it. You are in Texas, my friend.
By the way, look at this thing, man. This is great. This has shotgun shells in it. Look at that.
Does Texas have one of those stand and, what do they call them, stand and deliver laws?
Stand your ground.
Stand your ground law?
Yes, of course.
So please don't approach Adam because he's not turning tail.
Shall I tell you something? If you look at the statistics... You know, violent crime is much lower in Texas. People are very nice to each other because they're all armed. Please, after you, sir. There's no home burglary. You know, you don't. It's sad that that's what it is, that that's how it works. But the system does work. Again, people are very polite. Traffic, there's no road rage. It just doesn't happen.
That's true.
Know, people want to get their head blown
off.
You
ain't going to flip somebody off in the car next to you because you never know. Yeah. I tell my son that all the time. He doesn't believe me. I said, don't flip that guy off. He could have a gun. If he were in Texas, he'd know. Yep. So you could shoot one of those things. So you're saying that this isn't going to be a problem as unmanned police?
Well, no, it's a huge problem. It's a problem for aviation because, you know, you got these things flying. I mean,
is it going to happen
in the air traffic? You know, it's just not handy to have these things flying around. They're not communicating the same way. This is also why they're bringing in the next gen air traffic control system, which is going to cost it's like some crazy amount, like $100 billion.
So they do want to do this.
Excuse me?
They do want to do unmanned drone aircraft.
Absolutely.
Patrolling.
Yeah. Well, it's not unmanned. It's remote manned to be technical about it.
All right.
They will eventually have autonomous drones, which is very, very frightening. But no, I'm very against this. This shouldn't be in our airspace at all. First of all, it's annoying because you just have these things buzzing around. And, you know, the National Defense Authorization Act is being discussed now, the 2013 version. And they're saying, well, if we happen to see you doing something illegal, that will not be admissible in court as evidence. But if we have a court order,
we can still shoot you.
But... You know, if they have a court order, then, you know, they can go spy on you that way.
Well, I got to point out that Janet Napolitano testified in Congress this week that she's the Secretary of Homeland Security, that we do, in fact, have unmanned drones patrolling our borders right now.
Yeah.
Sure we do. But they're patrolling over Chicago right now.
Yeah. They go from northern Dakota to eastern Washington.
And the guys who are making these are saying that they're really being made to detect pot-growing operations in your house, because they'll look at the heat signatures coming off your house, and they'll start keying in on ones that are off, you know, that are off.
These are Predator B drones,
and they can do it from an height that is higher than where general aviation flies, anyways, right?
I am cashing in on this, though, Leo.
How so?
Oh, I have a game show.
Oh no!
Yes.
Win, lose, or drone.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We have Leo Laporte. He's down there. We can see him. We've got our
no,
items.
No, from the no, it's no, no, Rod! Here it comes! Quick, give me that gun, Adam!
Now, wasn't the impetus for the story the fact that drones on their way overseas weren't supposed to have their cameras turned on while flying over the United States, but they accidentally did?
Well, now if you're in Spokane, good news, these, quote, border drones are looking right at you. Because they fly over Spokane, so I guess they're not turning the cameras off anymore.
I think they get 30 days before they have to dump the footage, but they can spend those 30 days finding if there's something in the footage that should have allowed them to have the cameras on in the first place. It's a strange law.
I mean, really, all of this is really, really disgusting. I mean, we are killing innocent people in faraway lands every single day. With drones shooting, we have collateral damage. The whole thing is completely ridiculous. Our administration gets off on it. The signature strikes. The whole thing it's really frightening. I think it's a very, very, very bad development.
Well, what's interesting, of course, is that we are moving towards a fully surveilled society where there are cameras everywhere. There'll be cameras in the sky. There'll be cameras on every street corner.
And the street lamps.
Sensors in my head.
And he's got one. And what technology allows, of course, you couldn't do this before because you couldn't hire enough people to watch all these cameras. But technology allows, with face recognition and so forth, you can do this all automatically.
Yeah, but what is it? Look at the UK. What has it achieved?
Nothing.
Yeah, like 1% of all crime is solved because of the massive surveillance system they have with CCTV.
Right. And the cost must be astronomical.
So, what does it achieve? We're going to have these Google Glasses that are going to tell us.
Let's talk about Google Glasses. Have you seen them? Because you were standing next to Larry Page when he was wearing, Sergey, when he was wearing them. He wouldn't let you put them on, though.
No.
And then the latest we've heard is that it just rebooted a lot.
Probably had a command line interface or something. Right, didn't do all that much.
But they have patented the frames, the styles. I've heard from many that they're moving along quite briskly and that this is a real product. Is it a real product?
I believe it will be real in at least a year to 18 months.
And what will be the...
And it's not just Google, by the way. Oakley is working on this. Other companies are working on this. And the underlying infrastructure that will allow this contextual style display is coming at us. I was just at SRI where Siri and the mouse was invented this week, and I saw something that was pretty mind-blowing. Using no sensors, using nothing external other than your Gmail and your calendar to figure out your context.
Like what you're doing.
We're in a context right now.
Right.
I'm on a talk show.
Where
don't
are
be
you?
Calling, don't be sending
don't
phone
be calling.
Calls.
Right.
Which Rocky, by the way, my producer was...
He's texting you. I see that.
He called me to get on the show.
Get on the show. What does Rocky want to talk about? Rocky's always welcome on the show.
But we're in a context, right? If it was smart, it would have just dumped that straight into voicemail and not let that through to the show.
Or if you had an Android phone, you just flip it over and it would say, oh, you doesn't want to be called right now. So...
So as we're driving down, so I'm using an app called PlaceMe, done by Alohar, that is studying my context. It knows whether I'm sitting, driving, walking, running, et cetera. It knows my favorite gas station already. Because
they're
going
to drone your ass so bad, Robert.
He's the first.
I'm the first casualty, baby.
He's the first man up against the wall when the revolution happens.
They know where I'm buying my drugs.
This actually reminds me a lot of, we were talking about Daniel Suarez and Demon. This is exactly.
The augmented reality, that was actually extremely cool, where for those of you who haven't listened to the book on Audible, you put these glasses on, they're like shades, but above everyone's head, you kind of see their info and their stats if they're a part of the dark net. I would love that. I don't screw my calendar. I don't care about that. I'd love to.
Yeah, you had reputation points, so I could look at Robert and I could know, well, he's trustworthy in IT, and I can, he's shaking his head. And I think that would be kind of cool. It seems to me, Adam, that these glasses would be, you would be, steam would be coming out of your ears. Do you embrace these?
Well, the as it is now, it just looks like a stupid gimmick.
Okay. So you're not afraid of it because it's dumb.
Yeah. Oh, it's totally dumb, and they're not very stylish looking.
But they are geeky. Yeah,
going along with the Suarez book, if we were actually a part of an underground network that we were revolutionaries, it would be good.
So there you go. It's just another tool for the revolutionaries in us all. I like it, but I feel like we're being more detached from the world. Everybody walking around with their phone in their hand. Nobody's looking around at the world.
Well, this way I would look at you and just see...
instead of seeing me, you're focused on the infographics that are scrolling across the screen.
And this is why you need a contextual system to know what kind of context you're in, that you're looking at somebody and having a conversation. So shut up and stop the movies and stop all the stuff. But I do want to know about you. At the World Economic Forum, I was talking to this guy named Peter Pyatt. He had a badge on, right? I knew his name.
Right.
I knew he worked for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Right.
I knew he was smart because I spent 3 minutes talking to him and other people were talking to him. And I could tell he was much smarter than I am, 160 IQ or something crazy. But I couldn't figure out who he was.
Right.
I get away from the conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
I Google his name. Right. He discovered the Ebola virus. It was the first hit on Wikipedia. I sure would have liked to know that while I was talking to him. And all the systems.
So how do you feel about hemorrhagic viruses that turn people inside out overnight? What do you think about that? That would have been you could have had a nice conversation there.
Yeah, I would have had to take a little class on what that meant.
How do you feel about the hemorrhagic virus?
Well, I had a similar experience, Robert, but kind of the other way around. A couple here in Austin who had come from Los Angeles, we had met them. I said, have dinner. And we were talking for like 3 hours, really nice. We had a really great conversation. And then it came out all of a sudden that for 20 years they'd been the top PR people for the Church of Scientology.
Oh my God.
In LA. And if I'd known that going into it, I probably wouldn't have had a good time. And I probably would have been like, don't clear me.
Or maybe you would have had a different kind of good time.
You would have had a different time. It would have been, but you'd have a little regret that you didn't know that, don't you?
No, not at all. But now I'm Googling them. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Like think Tom about Cruise's how that's going to change social interactions, though. I mean, now you're going to be sitting at a table wondering if the person across from you has glasses like your glasses, and you're Googling each other and trying to pick out phrase words and questions from what you're searching.
It makes me a little nervous. I have a feel. It just feels like we're going to get more detached, not more engaged.
I'm down with that. And also, glasses hide the most important function of your eyebrows. Seriously, the eyebrows are what you use to communicate more than your speech.
You know, it's interesting. Charlie just
really
said in the chat room that you'll be able to cross-check whether somebody's lying to you or not. It was interesting. At the Next Web, I was giving a speech, and I was wearing a sensor for my galvanic skin response, and it was studying my emotions as I was giving the speech. And the guy who invented these was standing off to the side watching in real time on his iPhone my emotions. And that is exactly true. You're going to be able to know. If I knew that information about you, I would be able to tell whether you're having a weird emotional response to what you're saying to me, and I would know that you're lying.
Or you could just observe and notice people.
But I will agree with you, Leo, that this – and this actually – and I just read it. Now, don't take this the wrong way because I'm a student of history. But for a number of reasons, I read Ted Kaczynski's manifesto.
The Unabomber.
Yes. And
actually, that must have been fascinating, if not
it
weird.
It was very fascinating, and I'd never read it. And, there was a documentary that I saw. I'm like, oh, I should check this out. And he said, technology essentially is going to entrap us and will make us less free. And I think that's probably what you're kind of hinting at.
Yes.
Yes, I believe that technology does totally entraps us and makes us a lot less free is the word as human beings. So the whole humanization of technology is not necessarily a good thing. Now, I like it and I use it. But we do have to be a little wary, I think.
I agree. I think wary. I think technology is fairly neutral. Most technologies are fairly neutral. It's up to us to contextualize it to say whether it's good or bad. But it's certainly important that we be aware of its pitfalls. The problem is it's seductive, isn't it? And so we love it, and we are into it. And so we often just kind of brush over the negative impacts.
I think that's the real problem with this Facebook-ish world or this Google Glasses world is that it's going to addict us, and the addiction is already happening, right? We're already seeing people texting and driving. We're already
people
seeing,
cannot put their phone away.
We're already seeing marriages break up because people are staring into their phones instead of talking to each other. And this is just going to get worse and worse as these systems get better at serving us everything, not just media, not just ads, but everything in the world.
That's one of the fundamental things about this particular revolution versus, say, like the Industrial Revolution of the last century. When you look at the IT revolution, the information technology revolution, it's not just another tool which we use to communicate. It has fundamentally changed the way that we relate to one another and to society. So now you've got something like the Google Glasses, which admittedly, as a geek, I would love to have something like that. I really would. But I think you're both right. It's something that pushes me away from somebody else. And now I am actually having a conversation with someone accessing an external memory at the same time. I'm not really engaging this person as myself.
I've been hearing this argument for 30 years about the computer world is going to disconnect us. And yet I've traveled more and met more people. I've hung out in a Tower Records with Adam Curry. I wouldn't have had that experience if it wasn't for the internet and the computer systems that we built.
Absolutely.
But now Tower Records is gone thanks to the internet, so you can never again.
We can never again have that experience, but it's in our memories.
I can't tell you how many times I've been in an exotic location for my job, and I'm looking at something beautiful, and next to me is some 17-year-old girl from the United States who was there with her parents, and she's taking a picture of something and putting it on Twitter, and she never looks up.
Yeah.
And, that's weird to me. But I see that's normal for her. It's not enough to see something. She has to be able to share it. She has to be able to communicate it to others. Otherwise, it's not a real experience. I don't think that's good. I've been hearing as long as you that computers are going to take over and we're going to become automatons. We're not going to be able to talk to one another. But, it's happening a little at a time. It's 1,000 cuts here.
Gee, after all that, I hardly really want to talk about a 15-inch MacBook Pro that has a Retina display.
Seems so trivial. Come on, Leo. This is the Mountain Goat.
Ooh, that's the next OS X Mountain Goat, huh? Looks a little bit like Ubuntu.
This is the original MacBook Air running Ubuntu.
That's what I thought. Okay, yeah, it looks nice like a 1204, yeah.
Yep,
Lucid,
I love it.
Lucid Lynx or whatever it's called.
No, the MacBook is going to bring everyone together, though. See, that's different.
I do think that a super high-res display is pretty cool. USB 3, ultra-thin design.
The ultra-thin design. The USB 3 actually has me more interested than anything else
really?
In the design.
Now, you're an IT guy.
I'm an IT guy.
And USB 3 is predominant in PCs, but has not made its way to the Apple side yet.
Right.
In fact, Apple, I thought, was going to try to end around USB 3 with Thunderbolt, but Thunderbolt has not taken off. It's much faster than USB 3.
It's faster than USB 3.
There's no stuff.
But it's limited, and it's expensive.
And it's very expensive.
By the way, the photo of me and Adam walking around the Tower Records is gone because the service
You put it on Text America. I love it. You know, those guys, they have to be pissed off. Instagram sells for $1 billion. They invented that 10 years ago with Moblogs. Remember Moblogs?
Yeah. Moblogs. Hell yeah.
Remember Moblogs?
Yeah, sure.
That's Instagram. It's a Moblog.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, my daughter is 21 and all her friends, as I said, we communicate a lot with them. And the minute Instagram was bought, their first reaction was, that's going to suck.
Right.
Really interesting.
But let me ask you, did she say the same thing when they released an Android client?
Her boyfriend did.
Yeah.
He said, now it's not going to be exclusive and small anymore.
Tells you a little bit about who uses Instagram. Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Now, remember when... You remember this, Adam. Remember when AOL opened up the internet to its users? It was It was the summer of everybody who was on the internet at the time, which wasn't...
The 95?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you remember they had the crazy caching, and it would take like 4 hours if you updated a web page for AOL to actually display it?
That's right. Yeah. They weren't showing it live.
In the unwashed masses.
That's exactly. Yeah. And the same reaction as the Instagram users when the Android was added and then when Instagram got sold to Facebook. It's very similar. It's like, oh, no, now here come the real people. Yep. And that's what we're saying on Google Plus right now. Yep. Oh, don't. Fortunately, they never showed.
No, and that's what's fun about Google Plus, right?
I agree.
I almost have stopped talking because I don't want to screw up the little private club we have going on.
Well, it's like that's why I use T-Mobile because I think it's me and three other people on that network. It's perfect.
Good network. Yeah. It never goes down. You go to a conference and T-Mobile works. All right, we're going to take a break. Adam Curry is here, the pod father, the host of No Agenda Show with John C. Dvorak. It's Crackpot and Buzzkill. at noagendashow.com. And I didn't know, but many other shows. Are you? Is Mevio? What's going on with Mevio? You're still at Mevio, right?
Well, I'm a shareholder and I'm on the board.
You're not active there, though.
No, 2 years ago, I decided that I really just wanted to do No Agenda full time. And
wow.
I didn't really want to be a part of it. It was not what I wanted to do.
It's a real business.
The CEO and my ex-partner, Ron Bloom, is actually, he's taken it in an interesting direction. They're opening up a live studio in Hollywood, in the W, and they've put together a deal with Gene Kirkwood, who was a producer who did the original Rocky. And they're trying to do something. They're trying to bridge, you know, Hollywood and Silicon Valley. It's been tried many times, but you know, Bloom is pretty persistent. So I have have faith in that. But I really have no other.
That's so. No but and so they don't do No Agenda Show or any of your other shows. They're none.
It's on their servers and it runs through.
It does.
Yeah, it runs through there. I also put the Big Book Show on there, but it's just, you know. I'm a good shareholder.
That's interesting. Is it the Hollywood W?
Yeah, there on Hollywood and Vine. They've down in the retail space.
It's a very interesting idea because I know there's some other shows that operate out of Hollywood hotels. The idea being, well, the stars are there anyway, so maybe they'll come and do a podcast. You know what Kevin Pollak told me? He said, what was it? Oh, now I can't remember. He likened the podcasts. Oh, I'm going to have to... Oh, I forgot it. Oh, well.
It was an omism.
Yeah. Oh, it was a good analogy. He said the podcasts in Hollywood, it's kind of like an obligation that you don't want to do. They had a good analogy.
But, you know, there's a couple of really, really successful ones. You know,
jury duty. That's it. Podcasts are the jury duty. Thank you, chat room. They're my mind, you know. I've outsourced my entire...
This is your Google Glasses.
I've outsourced my brain.
This is exactly what it's going to be like, right? We're going to have the Leo Laporte army in our glasses.
He said in Hollywood, doing a podcast is like jury duty. You'd like hope you don't get the invitation. You go, oh, crap. Now what do
Adam
I do?
Carolla does very well. Joe Rogan does very well. Sure. Who's the comedian?
Well, Kevin Pollak. He does a great the Kevin Pollak chat show. He's doing very good.
Yeah,
and you're thinking Mark Maron and Mark Maron.
Yeah, Maron, exactly.
Yeah, and WTF. Yeah. I mean,
he does great. Of course, a variation of that was Louis C.K.
Yep.
And
Kevin Smith does very well with the show.
You know, he said, hey, you know, here's my stand-up special, and it's for free.
Right.
You know, send me $5 if you like it. And I think he... did $1 million.
In the most cases, though, I think these Hollywood podcasts are people who are somewhat on the margins anyway. They're not, you know, Tom Cruise.
Yeah, like we're so mainstream.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not mainstream.
But seriously, this is where it's going. It's meeting somewhere in the middle. We have alternative media. It has nowhere to go but up. I mean, have you seen the ratings for CNN as an example?
Well, they're not
Piers
great.
Piers Morgan, 39,000 people. That's all that watches
what?
That show.
What?
During sweeps week, 39th in the demo. So 25 to 55, 39,000 people.
I believe it.
No one's watching.
I'm on Fox News a lot in the mornings and I get
Fox News, they're doing very well. They do. It's 2 million.
But I don't believe that the people there are very engaged. They're not very
That's
into.
The truth. We have 4 million viewers every time I do live with Regis and Kelly. They have hot chick. Every time I do live with Kelly now, 4 million people I know are watching. That's the numbers. It's a big number. Nothing. Doesn't move the meter at all. I don't hear from anybody because they're not engaged.
No, I agree.
They're just kind of.
You know why? They're all.
Gone.
Because people who watch television, and I'm not trying to be ageist, but people who watch television are over 50. Just look at the ads. What are they selling?
How old are you, Adam?
I'll be 48 in September. Hey.
Yeah. Now, you're being ageist.
2 years, Adam. 2 years, and then I'll talk to you. Get off of my lawn, you kids!
Just baby-faced. No, but look at what they're selling, man. They're selling Cialis. You know,
no, I agree. No, in fact, it's Depends. And, yeah, it's really interesting when you watch CNN or any of these. Yeah. And yet, when there's a war, that's what people tune into, right? They do. That's traditionally.
But then they can't run ads.
Right.
Yep.
They can't break away because the war is too exciting. Anderson Pooper on the front line.
Right. That's a very good point. This show brought to you today by FreshBooks.com. If you're a small business, you know the worst time of the month, at the end of the month when you got to invoice, when you got to send out those bills, it's just a pain in the butt. You fire up Microsoft Word and you type in. Look, in 2004, I found FreshBooks.com. It was actually Amber MacArthur introduced them to me when I was going up there to do a TV show. It's a Toronto company. And she said, look, because I keep forgetting the invoice. I'm not getting paid. She said, FreshBooks.com. And 3.5 million people now have followed in my footsteps and are using FreshBooks to send out their invoices. They're professional looking. They're crisp. You get paid faster because there's a button right on the email that says pay this guy. And the truth is your clients, it's not that they don't want to pay you. They just got to make it easy for them so they can use a credit card or one of 11 different online authorization services to pay you right on the spot, including PayPal. If you do time and hours, they have an app, an iPhone app, but you also have a web-based app that will do the time and hours, and then just it goes right into the invoice. They have automatic ticklers, so if you don't get paid for 30, 60, or 90 days, they'll automatically send out the invoice again and remind people and let them know, hey, we're paying attention. In fact,
a lot of consultants who use this. They love it.
Isn't it great? It's just really nice. They'll even send out if you have an old-fashioned client, they'll even print, stamp, and mail a printed invoice for you for an additional fee. I've tried a number of these services. I used FreshBooks. I don't have to do it anymore because I do have a staff. But if you're a small business, you're doing this yourself, this is a great solution. FreshBooks.com. Try it right now. 30 days of unlimited use. And just make sure you tell them you heard about it on Twit, okay? FreshBooks.com. Don't do that invoicing by hand anymore. The faster you do it, the faster you get paid. I'm telling you, just try it for a month. And if you don't get more money in that first month, forget it. FreshBooks.com. Are you ready for 802.11 AC?
Oh, yeah.
You are? I just got a Buffalo router. Does this new 802.11. It's AC. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, absolutely. AC is a bonding of the 5 gigahertz channels up to 8 for 160 megahertz to get you up to 1.3 gigabits of transfer over multiple devices, or 500 megabits per second over a single device.
So it's much more than twice as fast as 802.11.
Much faster.
How you remembered all that?
It has another thing that's super cool. It has adaptive antenna aiming. Mm-hmm. So when it starts to talk to, so I'm sitting here, my Wi-Fi access point is over here. I'm talking, you're doing your phone right now. It says, oh, Robert's having a conversation. It narrows its beam. It's no longer omnidirectional to the people it's talking to. Which is kind of amazing.
Right.
All of this because the 2.4 gigahertz band is crazy crowded, unusably crowded. We couldn't use the standard routers even in here. Mm-hmm. We had to upgrade to higher end routers. In fact, you're going to give us this. Is it Cirrus?
Zirrus.
Zirrus.
Right. It's essentially a souped up version of that. It looks like a flying saucer, and it divides the 360 degrees into multiple slices with radios pointed in just that direction. Now, the problem with the 2.4 gigahertz range, and the chat realm knows this, is there's really only three channels.
They say 11, but it's three.
It's 1, 6, and 11. If you put your Wi-Fi in any other channel, you're really just straddling channels.
Right.
And 2.4 gigahertz has several problems. First, it propagates well through walls, which means if I have a access point in my house, it's interfering with the access point in my neighbor's house.
Exactly.
And also, with just the three channels, it's congested.
Now, that's interesting, because you're making a benefit out of what could be a problem, because as you get to higher frequencies, it bounces off things. So 5 gigahertz is not going to go through walls as well.
Right.
That's great if your neighbors are impinging on you, but it's not so great if you have a home with multiple rooms. Mm-hmm. Are there solutions around that?
Yes,
to put a bridge up? Well,
that's actually one of the things that I've been hearing from some of the Silicon Valley press, and that is that the arrival of AC, the coming of age of the 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi devices, is going to do to 5 gigahertz what happened to 2.4 gigahertz.
It's just going to be just as crowded.
But that's not true because it doesn't propagate well.
Right.
So
right.
You can have an access point in each room and it will not interfere with one another.
Now we'll need to upgrade. I mean, it's downward compatible. A, B, C, and G and N are all working. But you will want to get all of these benefits to use an AC adapter on your machine.
Correct.
How long before notebooks and desktops or whatever come out with this?
Well, the problem is it's draft. It's like when Draft N first came out, and it's going to be draft for at least another year. I mean, it's going to take This is way early. This was Buffalo and Netgear fighting it out to see who could make it to market first. And I think they were within 3 hours of one another.
Netgear's R6300 just came out. The Buffalo 802, a router is called the AC1300. I have that at home, and I set it up. And now the problem is your internet access isn't any faster unless you have such fast internet that it's challenging 802.11n, which most people don't.
Nope.
But if you're sharing files over the network, I did notice a big boost there.
Right.
That's an amazing thing.
Right.
So, for instance, one of the things I do, I'll give you just a second, Anna. One of the things I do is it has a USB port, so I put a hard drive on it and make that a NAS. Mm-hmm. And that way, it's a much faster backup solution than if I were doing it over the normal Wi-Fi, right?
Exactly.
Go ahead, Adam. Sorry.
Well, the Padres seem to know a lot about it, so I'm very interested. Are there any health concerns with these frequencies? I mean, I have to be honest, I'm thinking more of going wired than more signals in the house. I mean, is that stuff even researched at all?
Yes, I'm actually much more concerned about 802.11b, g, n at 2.4 gigahertz because mm-hmm. that's the same frequency as your microwave. That gets right. absorbed by the water molecules in your body. 5 gigahertz actually just bounces right off. If 5 gigahertz is actually better than you, but I'm with you.
Also, it's very everything. Low power. We're just talking
super low.
You know, power. We're not talking a watt. I mean,
no.
So I mean, your microwave is hundreds of watts.
Yes. Thousands.
Clearly, you don't want to put your head in the microwave, but you don't have to. Your Wi-Fi access spot, if it's not pointed at your brain, right. you know, millimeters away, is not your. It attenuates very, very fast.
Right, right. But I mean, then you have people who hold Wi-Fi phones up to the side of their head.
I have a friend who got all the Wi-Fi out of their house because they were so concerned about it. And as far as I can see, there's no evidence whatsoever. That's.
Do you go through the body scanners at the airport?
Right, the microwave millimeter wave scanners.
Hundreds of times a year.
I don't go through them. I opt out. I don't go through them.
Well, I like this. I like a good frisking as much as anybody, but I don't. Usually I'm in more of a hurry.
When that whole brouhaha came out and people were saying, "Oh my God, they're going to see what I look naked," I'm going to say, "Well, look, I'm celibate. I'm almost 40 years old. If someone gets their jollies off of watching a cartoon version of me naked, I'm flattered. Great."
Well, the real problem is. It's all security theater. We know that it doesn't do anything. They didn't they announce a couple of weeks ago that the Al Qaeda had developed an underwear bomb that was completely
Implanted in the body.
Oh yeah, it's in the body, an in-body bomb that was completely undetectable. Yeah. So this has never been about detecting explosives. It's about reassuring you that we're doing everything we can.
Guy Kawasaki and I visit San Quentin, and the inmates there said we can get anything in here we want.
Of course.
And if that can happen, you're going to get things through security if you're really determined, right?
I saw Daniel Brusilovsky was there, too. What were you guys up to?
Well, they were there for something separate. I call it the taxpayer tour, see how our money is being spent.
You're actually allowed to just say, hey, I want to visit?
Well, we had a friend who got us in there, yeah. And got us
gotta be there. Careful. Sometimes you get in and you can't get out. That's all.
You have to be careful with got us in there.
I can get
the
you
disclaimer.
In there.
Well, the disclaimer they read you when you go in. They said we will not
negotiate it for you.
We will not negotiate your freedom for prisoners.
Yeah. If they take you hostage, say goodbye because we're not going to try to. We're not going to save you. You're on your own. Good luck. There's a guy named Bull who has your name tattooed on his forehead. So just want to let you know. Anyway, so I'm excited about this 802.11 AC. We're Everybody more than a year be. Off from it, but it's a draft standard. But like the N standard, there are early models. I was impressed. I was getting very good results with the Buffalo. I'm going to test it more. I mean, I just had it for a day and see overall. But it's also a nice router for other reasons. I mean, it's unfortunately has WPS.
Yes, which is flawed.
Yeah,
what is that?
So all routers, many routers that have a 6-digit token on the back that allow you to easily bond with a router, you know, or Buffalo calls it AOSS. This WPS was improperly implemented in these routers, and it's trivial to download software that will allow you on a WPS-enabled router to get the WPA password and get in a minute or two. So it's a huge security flaw. If you have a router that has WPS, you should turn it off immediately. And unfortunately, the Linksys routers by Cisco, they have an on-off switch, but it doesn't turn it off. So you're in fact you're vulnerable no matter what.
It turns off the light.
They thought that's what you meant. Oh, you don't want to see the light. Firmware updates are being pushed out. It's an easy fix, as it turns out. So Steve Gibson's talked a lot about this flaw. On a Security Now, if you want to know more, just go back to Security
what
Now.
What a great show that is. I love Security
Do you?
Now.
Adam, I'm flattered. That's great.
No, and you guys have a good rapport. It's entertaining.
Well, it's the geekiest show we do. I know you're a hardcore geek. I don't know if people know, but Adam was started one of the first internet service providers in the world, Metaverse, and has always been a geek. In fact,
I had a Gopher server back in the day.
Yeah, then that's saying a lot if that you had your own Gopher server. Yeah. And also registered the domain mtv.com before anybody knew that there would be some value
Well, no, MTV said, oh, that's all right, son. You go do that. We got the keyword on AOL. I kid you not.
Or the Facebook page, either one. Just as good. Just as good. Well, thank you, Adam. I appreciate it. I'm glad you like that. Oh, there's the sun. It is slightly encroached. This is a live view. Where are you getting this from, Chad?
This is from slooh.com.
Oh, yeah, S-L-O-O-H.
Yes, .com. Events.slooh.com. And they even have a live Google Hangout if you want to watch. But, of course, you don't because you're watching us.
You can go there after the show. That is a really, that is very, very cool. And I'm not sure what location.
Now, that's in California.
This is California.
Yeah, it doesn't have the exact location, but I believe it's an observatory.
So in the U.S., it's a swath, a kind of roughly diagonal swath from Oregon to Albuquerque. You'll be able to see the totality of this, which is in total because it's an annular eclipse. The disk of the moon will be slightly smaller than the sun. So it's actually maybe even cooler because it's a ring of fire around the sun, but it's pretty bright still. And we will get sunset. At least in some of these areas of the sun. So that's. Can we see it here? Are you seeing it here? Let me go look. I've got the
the level 10.
If I come back blind, let me know. Let's check in with Tom Merritt. See what's going on the week ahead. And I'm going to go outside and see if I can see the sun. Tom?
Hey, thanks, Leo. Here's a look at the week ahead, and we'll be covering some of these stories on Tech News Today. Monday, May 21st, TechCrunch Disrupt kicks off in New York City after a weekend of hacking. Also, Apple and Samsung CEOs are set to talk patent settlements, and the Freedom to Connect conference kicks off. Tuesday, May 22nd, Dell reports their earnings, whatever they may be. And Friday, May 25th, the Cubify 3D printer will ship for $1,299. The first waterproof Sony Handycam comes to Japan, and Friday, May 25th is Geek Pride Day. All that and more coming up this week. Back to you, Leo.
So it's pretty bright. This is not enough. I'm not kidding. It really is brighter than you think. And it is not, there's no, I can hardly see at all now. But there wasn't the little
notch
bit out of it yet. Better to watch it on slew.com, to be honest with you. I went out the door and I looked. But that's a much better view. Actually, we're lucky because what we did is we took the Twit Cottage up into a space about 5 miles. And that is the view you get. I think it's just much more spectacular that way. Poor Adam. I think he just had an aneurysm. It happens when you hit 48. I got to warn you.
Oh, man. Don't hurt me like that, Leo.
48.
Not yet. September.
You're just a couple months ahead of me.
You're the eternal boy man, Adam.
Aw, that's so kind of you to say.
It's like when Dick Clark died, I thought, well, that can't be. He's America's teenager.
There's a guy. Have you ever met him?
No, have Dick you? Clark? Of course you have. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I worked on a couple of his shows. Oh, man, that guy was sharp. He's an amazing guy.
Really?
Really, really. Yeah, very cool.
Oh, that's neat.
I work with, you know, this is... Well, I know you have the same thing. You know, you work with all these people in the 80s to the 90s, and then you just see them dying off, man. It's like, oh, Donna Summer, there goes another one.
Yeah.
You know,
I feel bad. She just passed away, and I was saying, I feel bad because she got branded with the disco tag, and after disco faded, and it faded fast, nobody paid any attention to her. This was a woman with an amazing voice. She could outsing Whitney Houston easily.
Yeah. Well, she continued to have an outstanding career, maybe not in mainstream top of the charts, but she performed, you know, almost nightly anywhere. She could go anywhere and put on a show, and a sweetheart of a woman.
I mean, really?
Sweetheart. Sad. Yeah. And, you know, what I understand is that she's actually a victim of 9/11 indirectly because she was in New York, and she believes she got lung cancer from the debris, from the dust from... hours.
Right. Yeah, because she wasn't a smoker.
No.
Yeah, we'll never know.
Yeah, well, lung cancer is a bitch. I'll tell my mom passed away from that. And, you know, that's not a pretty thing. It doesn't end well. On that happy note, let's...
Well, thank you all for joining us. Jeez.
Sorry, I became a human being for a moment.
No, not allowed. I'm sorry. Get the sound effects out.
The chat room's talking about this bug going around. Yeah,
and you know what's funny about this bug is he's getting right at the right focal length that it looks like it's a giant moth. It's about this big. But he's somehow found the exact spot.
They're calling it the OCD bug. It's testing the OCD of the people in the chat room.
Well, or is it a new kind of drone?
It's a predator moth.
Adam, get that
How
gun out.
How small are the drones now, Adam?
Hey, that's hey, cool. Oh, cool. We're keying it on me now? What is that?
Look at that. You have a green screen.
Ah, Chad, I love that, man.
Isn't that
good
cool?
Job.
It's amazing what we could do. Now we've sent Adam into space. Adam Curry is at noagendashow.com. That sounds like the big show for you. I'm really glad it's doing well.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And, you know, obviously it's me and John C. Dvorak. The only thing I'm concerned about is, you know, just keeping both of us alive, because that's... That we can go on forever with that show.
It really is about the personalities, Buzzkill and Crackpot. And there's my shirt, by the way, which is... Oh.
Leo has perfected faster than life travel.
Oh, oh, wrong word.
Adam, always a pleasure. Lots of fun having you on. In fact, we got to get you back more than every 2 years, maybe every 18 months.
I'd love
months.
To, Leo. I mean, yeah. I make a joke of it, but of course, yeah, I watch. You know,
I can't believe
John's
you see
on.
Our shows. I'm so flattered.
Well, it's good stuff. I mean, I don't really watch television.
So you're stuck.
C-SPAN.
Yeah, you're stuck.
It was between you and C-SPAN.
I guess we win.
It was also nice. I like the guests. I like the Roberts.
It's fun to have the Roberts on, yeah.
Fun, man. We haven't walked around at Tower Records for years.
Adam, we're going to add you to high rotation, okay?
Hey, everybody. Thank you.
I love it. Thank you, Adam Curry. Thank you, Robert Scoble, the Scobalizer. Actually, thanks. Stick around, because after the show, we're going to do a little post-show. I want to bring those Woven guys up, and we could talk a little bit about what they're doing. Oh, yeah. Robert does such great stuff. You are really the king of discovering new startups and cool and interesting stuff. And it's the best reason to follow Building 43 and the Scobalizer wherever. You can't actually not follow him. He's everywhere. But,
can you just tell us quickly what that is? I've seen it throughout the whole show. You know, what is that thing?
They're little sensors, and they have, 27 of these sensors that do things like study water content in soil or pressure.
Wi-Fi
or,
built in or something?
Yeah, not Wi-Fi. But
RFID?
900 megahertz.
How interesting. Yeah. You know, it's funny. You couldn't use stuff on 900 megahertz for a while because everything was on it. Now everything's gone to Wi-Fi, and suddenly 900 is good. It's a good place to be, actually.
So anyways, these little sensors can wake up every day and take a soil sample or something like that, and then they'll send the data over to a gateway, and then the gateway sends it out to a server, a big data server somewhere.
Their slogan is weaving the Internet of Things. I think that's kind of interesting.
That's why I love this stuff. Rackspace loves this stuff because it means more data up on a data server.
More data is good. Scobalizer.com. That's the home base. I doubt you even post there, do you?
No. In fact, I'm working on my blog because I'm speaking at Blog World in New York in the first week of June.
Oh, yeah. So. I'm a blogger. Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. But, I write a blog regularly.
I gotta come back so next time we have something to talk about, you know, with Adam.
Always come back. Now, maybe this will be our regular cast. We'll just have you, Adam, and Robert, and we can do a show like this. Robert Balancer is
going to be so angry.
He's always angry. That's why he's on the show all the time.
He's a cranky dude. At Padre SJ, he's in our chat room as Padre SJ all the time. I don't know how you have time to do that. He's going to be the host of our new IT show, which I think we've decided is Friar Tech. I like it. At least we'll call him Friar Tech. Thank you so much. Great to have you.
It's always fun to be in here. I mean, people in the chat room are always wondering what it's like to be here, and I'm sure that the guests here right now can tell them this is like a wonderland for geeks. It really is a nice place.
Thank you. Yeah, Adam, we'd love to get you. Next time you're in the Bay Area, we'd love to get you up here and show what we're doing.
I'd also love to see the studio because I followed it when you had the cam hanging up as it was being built. And,
it's pretty cool.
John tells me it's pretty spectacular.
It's a fun place.
It's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's a fun place. I'm pretty happy. And we couldn't do it without all of you at home watching. We really appreciate your support.
Next board meeting, I'll see if I can have them plan it conveniently.
You can have it here.
Yeah, no, you don't want that.
Let's broadcast it.
Yeah. Food fight. Boardroom food fight.
That would be actually an interesting show, board meetings. They've never let it happen, but it's fascinating. Just to know what's going on. Maybe what you do is tape them, and then 10 years after everybody's dead, you show them.
Well, you know, you have the
board meetings of the dead.
I listen to a lot of those financial conference calls of publicly listed companies.
Yeah.
Like the J.P. Morgan when they announced the $2 billion
loss. Yeah.
Yeah. It was the conference call was spectacular.
That must have been interesting. Yeah.
Oh, and they're public. You can pretty much, you know, get the information and dial into them. It's a good pastime.
That would be a good one to listen to.
A good thing is that they invested in Facebook, so they'll be good.
They actually made a lot of money. They're going to be fine. Don't worry. They made back all their losses. Thank you for joining us. I'm serious when I say we couldn't do it without you. And make sure you tune in whenever you can. We'd love to do the show live because we have a great chat room, and you can be part of that at twit.tv. Every Sunday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2200 UTC on twit.tv. And, of course, you can get audio and video of the show after the fact every time. Tom Merritt does TNT. If you need a tech news fix every Monday through Friday, it's currently at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. It's 2200 UTC. But, you know, I'm thinking... We were thinking maybe moving into the morning if you guys, because Buzz Out Loud's gone. We thought we could take their time slot. People seem to like it in the earlier in the day. So let us know if you think that would be a good time. I'm going to go watch the eclipse. What do we got now? Is it a little bit of a bigger? Oh, yeah. Pretty soon it's going to eat Robert. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Another Twit.
This is amazing. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Doing the Twit.
All right. I love Smash. I know. I'm the only one. Dvorak hates it.
Smash.
Is that why Dvorak hates it? Because you love it?
He hates it because he thinks it's a dumb show. I mean, I am a sucker for some dancing and singing.
Me too. Me too. If people burst into song, I'm happy. In fact, if I could figure out a way to have this show burst into song every 10 minutes, I would.
Give me 5 minutes.
Not with me on it. No. If you want to do a show like that, have the CEO of Dropbox and Randy Zuckerberg.
Oh,
they're actually
band.
They're
they
pretty
have a
good.
Band.
And
now,
PUD.
I always wanted to give my speech as a rap performance. So I wanted to start, you know, when I do public speaking, I want to start like in a suit, say, but wait a minute, let me explain. And then have smoke pots and have background singers and a tearaway suit. I just always wanted to do that. Someday I'm going to do that.
Chad, did you get all that?
You just got to get your rap together, man. Like.
And my name is Leo. I'm a twit at large. I'm into foxy ladies and I drive fast cars. I'm going down in history as the whitest rapper there ever will be. Now I'm feeling the highs and you're feeling the lows and the beat starts tapping into your toes. I got a degree in rapology. I got a PhD in rhyme.
And I could go on forever.
That's awesome.
Well done.
That was the best thing of the show.